shall we just pray. Heavenly Father, again, we have the happy privilege of being assembled in this building, Lord, that you've given us the privilege of setting aside for our services and worshiping your name, for revealing your word to us, Lord. As the prophet said, to try to break it down to help the people to really understand some of the things he said he just had to gloss over. They weren't glossed over. They were set forth. But you have ministries, Lord, we believe that are ordained to help people. And we pray tonight that it shall be such, Lord, not in ourselves, but in you and you alone, Lord. Because as Brother Branham said, any hands can open the book, but only the Spirit of God can reveal it to us. And we feel the same way about it tonight, Lord. There's no change. There's no change in you. There's no change in your ways. And so we commit ourselves unto you, Lord, as vessels sanctified for your glory, Lord. We might not give you much glory, but we do pray, Lord, that we'll be true to your word, at least to the mechanical, so there'll be no misunderstanding there. So therefore, then there'd be an opportunity for your spirit to bring life to it, and then we'd win to the dynamics. So, Father, we commend ourselves to you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I don't know just how much time I'm going to take tonight on this subject, which is the protecting of love, and hopefully it could be the last message on that subject, or it could be just one third of it. What's left, I don't know. I'll try to go as rapid as I can, but we're all aware that all the doctrines of the Bible start in Genesis. Now, that's the fact, because Genesis means beginning, and anything that's in the Bible has to have a beginning, and the book of Genesis is where it starts in the beginning. It ends in the book of Revelation. And if it's not in Genesis, then if the seeds aren't there, then it's just simply not a Bible truth, as some people might claim it to be a Bible truth. Now, Brother Branham constantly took us all to the book of Genesis. Now, to me, he was the Omega of John the Alpha. Brother Branham was the Omega of John the Alpha, because both John and Brother Branham constantly said, in the beginning or from the beginning. Now, you check it out and you'll see for yourself. Always they said, in the beginning or from the beginning. And you won't find that, I don't suppose, in any other writings. So we have an Alpha and Omega, and you can see the Bible forming under the principle Alpha and Omega. And that is where love, which is true love, is first set forth, which would have to be in the book of Genesis. Now, we're going to listen to John as he tells it. First of all, in John 3 and 11, for this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Then again in 2 John, you find the same thing in the 5th verse. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Now, here is what I've been trying to get across to you, and I'm sure that you have got it over the past, but repeating it because it's months ago since I spoke on this subject many times, and that is that there are more beginnings in the Bible and in John's epistles than people give credit to. And because of that fact, that this is mentioned of a beginning, then people put great preeminence upon this verse, when indeed there could be greater preeminence perhaps upon another beginning or another word. Now, there are beginnings, I say then, in the book of John, that is the epistles, that differ from this beginning, as Brother Branham brought out in Marriage and Divorce, in Matthew 19:3-8. And he said it was not so from the beginning, and he took it back to Genesis 2:18-24 in order to show where divorce was intrinsically wrong, how it happened and still happens, and how to eliminate it. So that's a beginning. And as I previously said, this same prophet William Branham warned us to always see if what we're dealing with started in Genesis. If it isn't there in the book of Genesis, in its seed form, then we have to leave it alone. Now, that's where he's teaching always led us. So let's look at these beginnings that are here in this first epistle particularly, and we'll just see what we're, there's more than one beginning which he used with love. Now he says here, beginning at the first verse of 1 John the epistle, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon our hands that handled the word of light. Now he says there is a beginning. That which was from the beginning. So there's a beginning there. And he said, which we have heard, which we saw with our eyes, we looked upon, our hands handled of the word of life, for the life was manifest. And that word manifest there is to bring in it out in its true characteristic. To manifest actually means, as from the word phanerol, which means that you could be a hypocrite. But with this word, you can't be. There's no mask to this word. It's absolutely genuine in whatever it portrays or portends to be. That's exactly what it is. It's true character. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, which was manifested in his true characteristics, truly that's the one, unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, or bring it into full view, delineate upon it, show it to you clearly, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Now you notice that John said right there, now he said, if you want fellowship with me, there are certain standards I've set up. Now you do what you want. Now see, that's... I'm sorry, I didn't write the book. I preach it. Which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father. Now where does that put you in line with the Father? You're right in line with John. Well, you do what you want. Three dots in a row. If they're not perfectly straight across, you've got a crooked line. Now look, I'm sorry. Because since I've been sick, I've gone through a lot of different changes in my life. And this is one thing that I'm pretty touchy about. I don't want to really hurt anybody. Because it's easy to hurt people. But love does not hurt. Love is corrective, but it doesn't hurt. That's why our kids got complexes. I've got a complex. My kids got complex. You've all got complex because your parents whooped on you when they shouldn't have. They should have took you aside and nicely talked and showed you things and led you. And then if you needed a licking, you got your licking. So nobody's trying to hurt anybody. But John said, and right later on, he lets you down flat. He said, I'll let you know how you truly know the truth. He said, you listen to hear me. So people don't like that. Now, instantly, you could not, in your former thinking, categorize that as love. No way. I don't care who's sitting here. Look, I just throw a handful of beans out and get you on. And I'm not trying to take a shotgun and shoot anybody. We're just getting right down to the truth here. Be a 3-hour sermon, I can see that coming. I won't preach for 2 weeks. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You don't have a mediator without Him either. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. All right, now John himself never saw the beginning of that beginning of which he speaks. No. He never saw that beginning which was with the Father. He goes, he's going way back. What beginning is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the one he talked about here in the book of John. The Gospel of John, first few verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, he said, that's what he tells you about right here. He said, which was with the Father. The life which was with the Father, was with. He didn't say the life of the Father was in him. He said that life was with the Father. So that's, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. See? So he explains it, and then he tells you here, in the 14th verse, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. So he's telling you something now that was pre-existent in a form he never saw, in some way
that he never knew about, and now is manifested in human flesh. See? Now listen carefully. There was a time when God wasn't even God, which means the object of worship. I agree with Brother Branham perfectly. And I agree with the verses he takes, which is John 4:24, God is spirit, and he that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Also the one we read this morning, which was John 1:18, that he said no man has seen God at any time. And the Bible also says no man can see him. He's invisible. No man could see him and live. By grace, Moses saw the hinder parts, which was the back of a man. Now he said here that no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, had declared him. Now John is placing him way back there. That's why Brother Branham can say the same one, the same Jesus that was in flesh, is alive here in our midst today, and he's doing the same things in the Spirit, obligated to do them, that he did to Israel when he was there in the flesh. So you see, John's talking about a beginning that he himself was not privy to, in any sense of the word, except by revelation. Let's go back to Exodus 33rd chapter, verses 18 to 23. And you know it's very strange that Brother Clausen was using some of this morning. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to him, I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now he's telling him right there, it's going to be a gracious and a merciful act if he gets a revelation of him. He gets it any way to see him. Now he was seeing him by reason of a manifestation plus a voice. But he's going beyond that now. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And yet the Bible said Moses and God spoke face to face. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. That's exactly right. A rock of revelation. It'll come to pass while my glory passes by, I'll put a cleft in the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I'll take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, and my face shall not be seen. Now he tells you he's going to give you a revelation, which indicates here that your revelation will be sufficient of God, but it won't be the whole revelation of God. And of course, in this hour, when he's coming more and more into view, the revelation we have, according to John, according to Brother Branham, according to the word of Almighty God set forth, would be the greatest revelation of the hour, because Paul himself did not have a revelation of the power of the resurrection. He said, I might know him and the power of his resurrection, which is the first resurrection, the resurrection among the dead. Paul didn't have it. That revelation here in this hour. There'll be people here that are going to see the dead come up, stand amongst us, and they're going to see themselves changed and taken away. All right. Anything before John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God, is not a beginning. And is absolutely Exodus 3:13-14. Got a tremendous amount of scripture, so we'll see how far we go. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and said unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. Always was. No beginning. So you can't talk of that pre-existence, because there wasn't any. Okay, let's go to Hebrews. The 7th chapter, where God manifests himself in human form. For this Melchizedek king, that's first verse, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, amid Abraham, returned the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being first by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days, nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, abides a priest continually. Now, of course, people want to tell you, man, there was no genealogy of this old boy. Hogwash. Abraham knew who he was. He said, my Lord. He said, shall not the God of all the earth do right? There's no controversy here. All right, Isaiah, the 40th chapter, which goes along the same line. And verses 13 and 14, saying, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, and being his counselor, taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? And then later on, he just tells you through that 40th chapter that he was all alone. That's before he was even God, see? But he was God, but he was not the object of worship because there's nothing there to worship him. He was an object for worship, but he hadn't come into his own. And this is what I have spoken of as the eternal spirit all alone, plumbing his own depths by himself, within himself, and then from Isaiah 40, 13 to 14, springs John 1, 1 to 5. Now, we read Isaiah 13, 14, so we go back to John 1 and look at it for a second. And we read the first four verses, in him was life, the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Or the darkness could not get a hold of it. See, in other words, there's no way, there's no way that this light, which is the light of all men, and it is, and it doesn't mean that all men have light, or everybody hears the gospel. It simply means that he is the life, and he is the light to all men. And if you're in darkness, there's a darkness there, you'll never grasp it. You'd be like the Pharisee that was all perfect according to the law, but the minute that Jesus came into view, and there was time for recognition, he went all black, and the poor little woman at the well was a prostitute, and she was all dark, but one little bit of light looking for Messiah, she turned all white. Amen. Tells you right here. So let's not get the scripture all messed up and, you know, think that he's life and he's light to all men as though each man's got a candle. That's what they'd like to use and tell you that everybody's going to be already, everybody's going to be saved. That's ridiculous. Except you're born again, you know why I see the kingdom of God. Don't know the first thing about it. See? These are your theologians speaking. All right. Now, especially verse 5, which you read, and that in, he's light, and that in turn is witnessed to by James the I guess James was the brother of Jesus, according to what they tell me. Over here in 1 chapter 1, 16 and 17, do not make a mistake, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now he sets forth here as a God of eternal truth. See, that's where faith comes from. That's why that faith is a revelation. See, not just because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You've got to go, that's just one statement. You've got to put the rest together, which we're trying to do tonight by the help of Almighty God. Now, let's go on and progress in our understanding of this beginning we're examining. The first thing after the saw, that's it. This first beginning, John says in 1 John 1, that the pre-existent one was come down here in human flesh. Like Brother Branham said, the beginning of the creation of God was God beginning to form himself in the form of human flesh, which he did in Jesus Christ, and it's all going to come up in the masterpiece, which is the bride with the Lamb at the top of Mount Zion, and the pillar fire over the top, okay? That's how I see it. Now, the first thing after this solitude is manifestation, which is Logos. The first thing after this solitude, which is not a beginning, he always was, see, is manifestation, which is Logos. In other words, expression. He's got to start expressing. And is absolutely defined by the prophet as light. Well, he had to, because that's exactly what John said. He said the light went out. And then in the church order and conduct, and especially the question answers on Genesis, you'll find our brother Branham describes how the geological ages, as is known in the earth, have come forth through the process of the Logos. Okay, now, God who is spirit, and we know spirit is light. That's the Bible says so. Begins to radiate or outray itself. See? Begins to radiate, outray itself. Manifests, and it is light. Now, light is absolutely necessary in order to see, either physically or spiritually. Take it either way you want to go. So, therefore, starting with light. The life brings forth light. If the life is not there, there's not going to be any light. See? If the seed isn't there, the life of that seed can't come out. Because there's no seed there in the first place. See, I'm trying to weave in many things here to get our thinking out as far as we can go in order to round everything out. Now let us go on and reread about this anointing that came out of God and brought visibility to God, or potential visibility. For as yet there was nothing more there than the Word was God. See, in the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God, all things are made by Him, without Him there's not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. All right, now, We'll go back now to Genesis chapter 1. And here we find again a beginning. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Now, as far as I know, Genesis 1 and 1, in the way we read it, is what followed John 1, 1 to 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. There's God coming into view, Logos. And then he said this one spoke, and things began to form. And how the sun was maybe 5 billion years in making. And all those various things. That's perfectly fine. How he brought it forth so beautifully. Now, then we read in Genesis 2, the second part of the second verse, 1 and 2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then 3 and 5. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light and the darkness. Now, this is over the earth. This is not the original light. Now, this is not the first out rain. This has to do with what's happening. It happened down here. So we got the world in shape where God could bring forth what he wanted. And this is John 1 and 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, how long he took to do it was God's business. That's up to him. Now, to get my point here, we ask, how was John 1, 3 fulfilled, and what is all things by him and for him? How was it done? It's done exactly as it says in Genesis 1 and 3. And God said, that's exactly what it was. This light didn't have to come out of him. This depended upon the light and life that was in him. And speaks. He said, let there be light. And Brother Branham said, that doesn't need any interpretation. The interpretation was the manifestation. So God said, now, God expressing himself as to what lay within him, produced or materialized what was spoken. Just speaking is all it took to produce what was in God's mind. Now follow carefully so we don't miss the doctrine. The entire omniscience or complete knowledge of God can become conceptualized. Or in other words, God in his solitude by himself, plumbing his own depths, arrived at certain conclusions. And by speaking, he can bring every one of those concepts into existence. That's all it took was speech. God, who is spirit, who is light, does this. It is his way, and he never changes, and he can't change. And even the lesser gods, which are prophets, their word is creative because it is God's word in their mouth. As God said, tell the flies to come forth. Tell the frogs to come forth. And he said to Brother Branham, you speak, and the squirrels will come forth, and you put them where they are. Now, Joe, that kind of bugged me, in fact. Why should he tell us we weren't there to see it? But you weren't there to see, and you believe what I tell you about the time the microphone cord went around it 3 times. And suddenly it wasn't around him anymore. And I don't have my eyes aren't that good, but they aren't that bad either. I'm a believer. I don't care what anybody says, I saw it. Do what you want. Shrug it off, laugh it off. Nope, no problem of mine. The problem is yours. Because I'm a believer. That's right. I believe you are too. Now, listen carefully. And what he does as God is more than just an action or a creation. It has a purpose beyond that. It is in the original concept of omniscience, preordained to be light or the giving of understanding and meaning to men and all creatures of reasoning ability. Now, you didn't get it, but you should have. In other words, to be God and worship. That was what he had in mind. Now, with it, multitudinous attributes. Infinite depths and qualities. So therefore, everything he did was with the purpose of reasoning, thinking creatures, of which the main ones are men with souls made in his image. Angels, of course, also come in their cherubim, and the four creatures and so on. So therefore, what he does as God is more than just an action or a creation. It has a purpose in it beyond that. See, look, if that weren't true, why is he going to restore the world? See? He made this to the end that man could have it in a perfect condition. And it's going to be better than ever was when he gets through doing it. Because where God never fails, and he doesn't really improve on himself, he improves everything for us, just showing that he's God. See, so there's a purpose. There's the purpose I'm trying to show you, is life light. See? You got to understand, everything in the scripture and everything around us, as Brother Branham clearly brought out, has the purpose of showing us something which is relative to God. All right, we go to Romans to prove it, the first chapter, which we read many, many times. So read it again, 18th verse to the 22nd. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Oh, brother, you see why there's got to be judgment? Every time a prophet came, they killed him, crucified him, did away with him, mocked him, laughed at him, did away with the truth of God. They held it down. All right. You see, because God has a purpose. And that purpose, of course, as Brother Branham brought, was a masterpiece. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. That word, of course, is phanero again, which means that God unmistakably displayed, proved it was he who was doing it in order to gain favor and bring them to himself. They turned it down flat. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Now it tells you right out here, there's enough that he's done that's been standing here for thousands of years that people ought to know. There's no mutations, so there goes your ridiculous idea of, man springing from monkey. No such thing as evolution, except in God's own evolution, higher orders. They are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, came vain their imaginations, their reasonings. That's the word reasoning, not imagining. It's reasonings. And their foolish heart was darkened. See, they became idolatrous. Became vain means idolatrous. Professing themselves to be wise, that's a sophisticated or a sophist, they became fools. They became insipid. You know something? I like some of these words better than the original words. You know, the King James Version. Here they are. They became idolatrous in their reasonings. The foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be sophists, the wise, smart people, they became insipid, sickening, sweet, sick. You know, yuck. Wonder God vomits in this age, lukewarm. That isn't their insipid. Oh, they profess we got it all. We're rich. We just own everything. See? That you lay in church age. And know not that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind. You're waiting for a handout. So here comes God walking down the streets of this age with a handout. I literally a handout. Here it is. Proving who he was. The great benefactor with all his benefits. But they're too smart. So they do. They change the glory of the uncorruptible God. He no variables, no shadow changing. He's all light, all truth. Into an image made like the corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, man has come to the age where, like communism, puts man at the head. Man's everything. Puts him down like a beast. Well, the church hasn't done any different. Now, we'll reread John 1, 3 and 4. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. See? That's what we told you about. Now, we proved this out by Ephesians, and I'm going a long way around, but that's my nature. You take a lot of scripture, because if you get nothing but scripture, you can go home satisfied. You've got yourself a good sermon, because lots of scripture. Whether I even explain it right or not. Blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places according, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. See, there you are. The concept conceptualized to the point of materialization, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love having predestined us unto adopted children by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, when he made accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, when he is abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mysteries will according to good pleasure which he purposed in himself. See, purposed himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which both are in heaven and on earth. In other words, the whole creation, all the galaxies, everything is going to be recreated, the whole thing going done over, according to the original purpose and plan. In whom we have attained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. See, all by himself. That we should be to the praise of his glory, first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trust after you heard the word of truth. Huh? There you are. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe, you were sealed of the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, the rebirth comes by the word. No word, no rebirth. I don't care what anybody says. Spirit of God can move across that barn out there and nothing happen. Moving this building doesn't happen. Except people's hearts get harder. It's that word. See? Because they're one. They're literally one. But that word has to come forth with it, or see, that's where I got it to Dutch with a good friend of mine. He got a hold of one of my tapes. And this sweet little girl had criticized the meeting. She said, Daddy, it's like they're playing church. Now, nobody's going to tell Lee Bailey's playing church without you preaching. I don't care whose daughter it is. I said, I'm going to tell you what's wrong. Judging the Word by the Spirit instead of judging the Spirit by the Word. Because the only way you can tell what Spirit is, Spirit of God or Spirit of Hell. That blew the lid off. Well, I'm sorry. And I'm not trying to get back where I was. I'm trying to preach in love and be just sweet and decent as I can because I love the brother, love the sister. Maybe at odds one time, but not anymore. Nothing in my heart. Well, Chad, I'm not going to change my preaching for anybody. I change my manner. I try to be softer and nicer, gentler and all those things because that's all right. Calm myself down. But he said here, he said, in whom you trust after you heard the word of truth. The gospel of salvation, in whom after you heard that word and believed it, only then and then were you dynamized. Or was the word dynamized in you? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believes it. That's what Paul said. Which is yours to our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now you see, every single thing that God had in mind, no matter how he created it, what it was done, and oh, there's just millions of things out there that God's done. There was a purpose in his mind concerning intelligent people. In other words, people with souls that could make a decision. Had moral value. In other words, the decision would have a moral value. See, looking down that road. All right. Now, with that, we could read John 14 and 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, this is what Paul's talking about. That inheritance. In my father's house are many mansions. Where in the world I told you. I go to prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am there may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know, and so on. See? All right. Now, we go to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, like we did this morning. Because there's always your key. Verse 9, it's written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them to love him. So wait for the surprise. See? Now there's a certain part of it revealed. We know that. But God will reveal them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, say the Spirit of man's in him, even so the things of God knows no man, Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's grace. Grace and love, the main ingredients of God, you might say. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He won't receive the word, see? Can't do it. It's got to be granted. Revelation got to be granted. They're foolish unto him. Neither can they know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judging no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? That's Isaiah 40. But we have the mind of God. He tells you right there that absolutely God has transferred from his mind what he wanted to transfer concerning man to man's mind. And he's done it by the Holy Spirit. And I just thinking the other day, how wonderful, as Brother Branham said, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's just the work of a scribe, so to speak. And yet, infallible word that Luke, as a scribe, in Luke and in Acts, could put forth, and that Mark could put forth, and Matthew put forth, and of course John was the apostle. Think then, the inspiration that Brother Branham had, not being a scribe, but a prophet. That should rock you from into infinity. When it comes to faith in the Word, what he preached and what he taught, where you stand. And that's how the Holy Ghost does it. See? Light coming from that very beginning. So we see a great point here. Every beginning, and we'll see more than one, six of them in this book of this Epistle of John, has to do with the child of God. That's right. All with every beginning. Everything in the book has to do with the child of God. As proven by Brother Branham, they are keys or principles used to dividing for use for the dividing of the Word and the understanding of the Word or for accurate revelation. Well, let's go over here to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. And let's see, 15 verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. In other words, it tells you right there, if you misdivide the Word of God, your efforts as a minister of Christ are fruitless. You run in vain. You say, how do you know? Because Paul said so. He said, I went up to Jerusalem to check with those men up there who literally walked and talked with Jesus to see if I had the right revelation all by myself out there in the desert from the pillar of fire. Now let's talk about the pillar of fire just for 1 second. Brother Brad is sitting on that private tape to me that got around the Word. He said, see, Lee, we haven't had a prophet to talk face to face with God like Moses did since the time of Paul for 2,000 years until now. He had the ability to tell the vision exactly as he saw it and put the words down exactly as he heard them. And then explained exactly as it was. You can't listen. We're living in a great age, brother, sister. So just to get a glimpse of beginnings, we're going to look at number one beginning in the book of the Epistle of John about this great God who did all these things and does all these things, maintains all these things for us. Because that's the purpose. God so loved the world, that's his own order, that he gave his life for it. That word cosmos is not a bad word. There's no word in the Bible that's a bad word in itself. Not even the Satan. He was good for a while. He went haywire. There's nothing impure of itself. It's what you do with it. All things are pure to the pure in heart. See? So, look at this beginning. To get a look at the beginning, as we have said, John 1 and 1 is the beginning. As in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That the Apostle John only had revealed to him, it was not seen by him. But in 1 John 1 and 1, he was physically involved in that which was John 1 and 1, which became John 1, 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now he said, I had something to do with that one. The pre-existent one. See? Who changed his mask. The Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the new. See? Alright. John had nothing to do with the first in the sense of ever being there. I don't know if he even saw the pillar of fire outside the day of Pentecost. I know we've known. The book of Revelation doesn't tell us. He saw visions. But he saw the one in a human form. Like when Jesus said, haven't you seen me and handled me? He said, I and my Father one. If you saw me, you saw the Father. All right. That beginning, the very beginning, John was not there, but when he became flesh, John was there, and he ate with them, slept with them, fished with them, so on and so forth. All right. Number two, that second beginning is over here in 1 John, the second chapter. And it's the seventh verse we're going to look at. He says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Now, there you are. I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. There's the beginning right there. They had something from the beginning. The old commandment, which is the word, which ye have heard from the beginning. Now, here the brethren are brought into the picture. There's a beginning with them. Whoever John had discipled were indoctrinated, and here was a priority. There's a priority here. Right, let's read it by context. Start with the third verse. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Okay? Add one word, take one word. Whosoever keepeth his word in him is verily is the love of God perfected. Now love is brought in after word. If you don't have the word, there's no perfect love in you. What if you got imperfect love? What if you got feigned love? What if you got love with dissimulation, which is hypocritical? Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abides in him ought himself also so to walk as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. In other words, John was telling you right now that he was preaching the same word that has always been preached from the Garden of Eden. So I said, I haven't changed one bit of this word. As Brother Branham said correctly, he said, God does not take away his commandments. They're augmented. They're glorified. He said at one time it was the actual act of adultery was what counted, but now you can just lust after a person. And he said a woman wearing clothes that was deliberately on her frame to make her sexually attractive, and somebody looks at her in lust, now she can't help it if she's just a good godly woman that's dressed properly and all. That's just a lustful old sinner out there. But if she puts herself in such a way as to be attractive in that way, the Bible said in Judgment Day, Brother Branham said she's, and that's the Bible, should be judged as an adulteress, and so the man be adulterer that committed adultery with her. See, the Bible says the lust of the eye gets you in a lot of trouble, the pride of life. And lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. They're terrible things. Again, a new commandment read in you, which thing is true? In him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. What everything in the Old Testament is appointed to here, in word, type, and shadow, even the law, the whole thing, was a plan of God to bring you right to this light. And he said, I'm preaching it. And he said, it's the same word. Paul reasoned by the law. The law and the prophets. As Brother Branham said in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, he said, you'll see God in every verse. If you don't see him in the history, read it again. He's in the history. Because it tells you how people react when God acted. It's all through there. Very true, wonderful statement. Now, these disciples have received a true revelation of the Word of God, wherein Jesus said, if you had known Moses, you would have known me. Absolutely. Jesus said, if you had known Moses, you'd have known me. John never brought another word. He taught the original word by true revelation. Now, we'll deal in part on love, verses 9 to 11 later. He that saith in his heart, he that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abides in light. There is no occasion of stumbling in him. He that hates his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth because his darkness has blinded his eyes. And so on. We'll leave that and be for the time being because I want to touch later. Now, number 3. His 1 John 2:13 to 14. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abides in you, overcome the wicked one. All right? In these verses here, 13, 14, it is exceedingly doubtful that these men actually knew Jesus, the Lamb in the flesh. Very doubtful they ever saw Jesus. I doubt it. I don't believe they did. But maybe one or two did. I don't know. Maybe he's preaching now and there are some of them repenting. I don't know. But it's doubtful to me that they actually saw Jesus in the Lamb in the flesh. But they knew him from another beginning, which was Pentecost. Okay? Where John says, I want to share with you the truth that I know, and when you know what I know, and really know it the way I know it, he said, you'll be in a group of fellows in a ship, fellowship, and in with him. Now, people can say if they want, but that's the way the Bible's written. That's what it says. See? So, he tells them here, he said, I read your fathers and so on, because you have known him that is from the beginning. How did they know him? They knew him by revelation. Brother Pete read this morning, I think he's reading how that Brother Branham was saying concerning Paul. The disciples ate with him, slept with him, and everything else, and rather concerning Peter. He's, who do men say that I am? And they said, some Jeremiah, some I said, who do you say? He said, thou art the Christ. He said, I'm going to tell you something. That word should be Messiah. Thou art the Messiah. The word Christ is bad because it sticks to the Greek. It should be with the Hebrew. Christos and Messiah is one and the same. The anointed one, see? Thou art the anointed one. You're Messiah. So I'm going to tell you something. He said, nothing about me ever indicated it. Now get this flat. Because here's the one that was very nasty the day he whipped to pieces those money changers that were doing what the law literally required. That's okay, wrong door. See? Didn't understand. See, they would say, well, that old renegade Jesus. Look at your kind old priest. See? Brother Branham had it nailed down. Exactly right. All right. Now, let's go to John 2 and 24. Another beginning. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Oh, listen. That's where the Catholic Church is off. They think we got a Pope, we got apostles. There's a church called the Apostolic Church. Way back on the late Dr. Drummond and some of those men. Wonderful men of God. And the prophecy came forth and said, hey, I'll tell you what's wrong. You don't have apostles. Put apostles in your church. That'll do it. Now they got a line of apostles. It's going to do it. Hogwash. You must be born again. Amen. The original word. See? He said, what's that oil and wine? Went down to a bare little dribble. And at the end time, he said, he will not quench the smoking flax and break the bruised reed. He said, wipe it out, it's finished. The rest come in under the fifth seal. 144,000 under the blood. And the Holy Ghost come up as part of the first resurrection. How do you do? I don't know. Don't ask me. I'm not a prophet. They're there. They're the eunuchs. They're the ones that take care of the bride. See? All right. If that which you've heard in the beginning shall remain in you. The original true word of God as enunciated by the apostles who received illumination by the Holy Ghost along with Paul. But that's where they went off track. And one word off track throws everything off a track. Can't people understand that? Even Michener understood that. Reader's Digest, when he's talking about that, the African situation. Integrity in words protect integrity in life. If the word is corrupted, everything that stems from it will be evil. How did Mitchell know how to write that to 20th century people? Now you just find me that's as clear as the word of God is. Because that man was speaking the word of God. I think Mitchell's a Jew, isn't he? James Mitchell, Opus. I think so. Wrote several books. I never read them. I shouldn't ashamed myself. But I'm lazy. Well, I say, well, all right. Now, evidently, John's word had begotten them by the gospel of truth, which was about the beginning of the word made flesh, the revelation of Messiah, virgin born lamb, and so on. And remember, John lived a long time and became the pastor at Ephesus. So he was preaching the truth right down the line to these men. Now he said, if you stay with this word, he said, you'll continue in fellowship. But you can't read the church ages, that is the chapters 2 and 3, in the book of Revelation, and find that fellowship continuously. Candlestick busted off, candlestick busted off, candlestick busted off. Oh, there's no way that God has grandchildren, as David Duplessis said. There's no way. David was right. The greatest thing he ever said, as far as I'm concerned, was a tremendous thing. Even Brother Branham liked it. All right. The fifth beginning. 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. Is that a fact? What does Ezekiel say? In verse 28 and 15. Thou was perfect in all thy ways, till iniquity was found in thee. There's a beginning. There's a beginning, John tells us right there. What beginning? Is that the beginning of love? Is that the beginning of creation? Is that the beginning of the Word becoming flesh? What beginning? So you better stop and put on your thinking cap when you start taking one verse. Because the devil, all the devil needs to do is take one verse and destroy everything. It takes one word and knocks it all out. Because that word was a negative. See, all right, number 6. And this is where we wanted to get in the beginning about love. And that number 6 is 3, 9 to 18. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither loveth not his brother. Now he's got two things in there. Doeth not righteousness and loves not his brother. One fellow's got a correct training, this man's got a correct training in the things of Almighty God. And Paul backs this up because he said, though he's got all faith and he's got all this and all that, he's a body burned, doesn't have love, he's nothing. And yet Paul said love is the greatest thing of all. Love covers a multitude of sins. So, if you got love, everything would be under wraps. Doesn't say that. You got something that says it right along here. It says if he doesn't do righteousness, it doesn't say love comes along and says, hey, it's okay, fine, you did just fine. It says neither. There's two things standing here now. So love doesn't stand alone. Love is not the absolute.
Amen.
See? There's something else. For this is the message that we ye have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Now there he is. Now he's got to be a beginning there. Not as Cain was the wicked one who slew his brother, wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. See? Well, let's keep reading. Marvel not, my brethren, that if the world hate you. We know we pass in death unto life because we love the brethren. Well, he said, we know we're born again because you love the brethren. He says up here, though, he said, the brethren are those who do righteousness and love. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. It also says over here, he that keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. You want the perfect love of God? You better, it has something to do with the word. It's not your conception, it's something God's conception. Whoso hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. What about the thief on the cross? He could have been a murderer for all we know. There were thieves, but it could have been murders. You see, a murderer can't make heaven, then John lied about David. John must have been gilding his own lily, because David was a man after God's own heart. But John blew his own horn by saying the disciple that Jesus loved. I'm not trying to be snooty and rotten with anybody. Let's just get this flat. Word's word. And you don't pit word against word and come up in folly. Word reconciles. Every cell in my body should work with each cell, but it doesn't. One day it's gonna. Well, there's a great day coming. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. That's very true. Make sure it's your brother. For whoso hateth this world's goods and sees his brother in have need and shuts up his bowels with compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? But doesn't see you become a sponger either. What about this word here that says, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat? A man that won't take care of his family is worse than infidel. Well, come on. You can't pit the Word of God against the Word of God and run out here and run amok. Oh, you can if you want to. But the Word of God is one reconcilable unit. Everything is reconciled. In him is light, and there's neither barrens or shadow turning, and no darkness at all. No word contradicts a word. Well, hallelujah. Sorry about that, folks. I never wrote it. I'm guilty like anybody else. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. Just trying to lay right in the line here. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Now, he's telling you something here. Let us not love in word. That's our words, no, not his word. Neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. In other words, you are a true born-again believer, a word bride, and you will do what the Bible says, and you'll not do what the Bible says not do it. In other words, you'll let the reel out, or the line out, or you'll pull the line in. In other words, I'll go so far but no further, because this point is where God says. The Bible said when you do deal with a man at a certain time, he says after the second time rejects as an infidel. Paul Peter said, well, that can't be love. Well, I'm sorry, that's what the Bible says, so it's got to be love. So you see, we're dealing with love on a principle which is a lot different from what ecumenism is and what the world out there is saying. And I'll show you. Sure, we'll just have to take my time, that's all. Cancel Wednesday night, as far as I'm concerned. I'll do my preaching tonight. Because I know what how. But by the grace of God, I'll bear up somehow. Somehow, that's all there is to it. All right. Now, where are we at here? Got to see where I'm going here. Yeah, the beginning, we didn't read, we did. We read all the way down to 18. Okay, we got down to 18. Now, to begin, let us isolate 1 John 3:11. We read what we needed to read. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. See? That's it. Now we read the context. So I've isolated this verse for the purpose, using the word isolate, because it seems that everybody in every church wants to isolate it and put it in a golden frame and say, this is it. This is it. See? Now I can't buy that. All right. Can you believe for one second that this beginning on love supersedes or could have preceded 1 John 2:7-8. So let's read it. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Now the point is, did this word come first or did this love come first? Look, they didn't know the first thing about anything. They just heard the word. They knew they needed help. God had granted repentance. They had repentance unto eternal life. Through the baptized name of the Lord Jesus Christ, were baptized with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost began working within them. Because there's fruit of the Spirit in there, and one of them is love. And the love of God is shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost. And the Bible distinctly says you wouldn't get it unless you heard the word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And after you heard the gospel, the truth. Then you received the Holy Ghost. Then he said, I saw that love among you. So you see, we're dealing now on a pure scriptural basis of the first, which is the first. Now, not the second. And so when he says, in the beginning, this is the message you heard in the beginning, that we should love one another, he's telling them that in that message, there's a prime stream of life that's called love. Now remember, the river flows under the tree of life. So if you're going to have a river of love, you better have a tree of life. Or if you're going to have a tree of life, you better have a river of the Spirit of God, which is what you might call a liquid form of the Word. Spirit form of the Word. Now, if anyone can believe that this beginning in love would supersede or precede 1 John 2:7 and 8, I say to believe so is abject folly, because it would destroy grace and institute a legalistic work program in the place of a living Savior, a living baptism with the Holy Ghost. In other words, I've got to love first to manifest and then go into it. I've got to get it in order to manifest. You say, oh, Brother Bale, that doesn't... Now, just a minute. You wait and find out. We would get too spiritual in a while. And see where we're going. See? Now, let's go to 1 John. I'd rather beg your pardon. John 3:5-8. We're talking about love, and I'm not downgrading love. You wait, we'll get right into the heart of what we're into. Okay. 5 to 8. I've turned the wrong page. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say, except a man be born of water, even the Spirit, and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I send you, you must be born again. The Spirit breatheth where he willeth. And you hear the sound of his voice, but you can't tell where he's coming and where he's going. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. It's a complete mystery. Complete mystery. Then love won't bring it. The love of God gave it. And out of it is going to have to come exactly what John said will come, which is one with the Word and what lies within that Word. In this case, it has to do with the conduct which is love. Let's go to Romans, the 5th chapter, and the 5th verse. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Where does the love come? By the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? He's the Word, the life of the Word. They're one. The Word I speak on your spirit and life. Okay. Let's hit Galatians, go to Galatians 5 and 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Where does it come from? It comes by the Holy Ghost. 1 John, the 4th chapter, and verses 7 to 10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Love is of God. It's not of yourself. Love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, and he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we through him might live, or live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now here's love. You want to know what real love is? It's self-sacrificial, even of God himself, to restore to himself what must be restored, in order for him to display all of his attributes for us and to us. Amen. Now there's the love. How, we got a measure of that, brother, sister. And nobody's perfect this side of the resurrection. Let's understand that. That's what gets everybody down. You want to go back to being Nazarene or some kind of faith holiness Pentecostal. I'm not saying we don't strive. And we don't keep moving ahead. I'm not saying those things. I may be accused of it, but I'm not saying them. I'm saying what the prophet said. There's no perfection this side of the resurrection. You say what you want, I'm saying what the prophet said. If you say there isn't, I want you to prove to me. You just prove you're a liar. The devil's just spinning around just like that. I could say some personal things here, but I won't say personal things. I don't mean it hits anybody in the audience. It's things about myself. But it's not wise. I don't mean I'm a goody-goody. I mean it's just works opposite of what you think. All right, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's Ephesians 1:30 morning. In whom also after that you believed, you received the Holy Spirit of promise. And what's in him is there is that love shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. That love, which is earnest of our inheritance until the redemption, the purchase of possession, out of the praise of his glory. You've been completely redeemed in two parts, soul and spirit, but your body's yet to be redeemed. Okay. Acts 2:38 and 39. You know that. Repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's how you get the Holy Ghost, and that's how the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, and the shedding abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost is continuous and multiplied, or it's grieved away by either listening to the word or not listening, obeying or not obeying. Now, Paul was not at all unaware, even as Jesus was not, that love can be perfectly counterfeited. Now, love can be counterfeited. So let's go over here to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And in verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Act 100% just like a Christian. Be absolutely diabolical. Now, you say what you want, but I'm telling you what the Bible said. And Brother Branham, I knew one day the day would have to come. After having talked to me privately and personally about this very subject, anointed ones in the end time, I knew the day would come when he would absolutely have to tell us what he told us, anointed ones at the end time, that the fruit was the true word of God revealed. You had it. And that's what he said. So let's go with the prophet. All right, let's go with the Apostle Paul now. Let's find what he said. We go over here to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. Now, I've read this before for you and quoted for you. The 12th chapter, 9th verse, let love be without hypocrisy, dissimulation. If I'd have known that word, I'd have got Brother Branham on that one. I couldn't do it. I got him on the 1 Corinthians 13. That's when I said it was tongues, he said it was love. So we argued. We both laid our Bibles down. Then I came to the place where I said, Brother Branham, you're right, it's got to be love. Then he came to the place where God showed it wasn't love. So, we loved each other. We both had the Holy Spirit, I do believe. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Notice what he said. Abhor that which is evil. Love that is hypocritical, then he puts evil in there. That's the Cain and Abel picture that John was painting back there. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Be not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoicing in hope, and so on. Okay, now, what is 1 John 3 all about then? To see it, we have to read verses 6 to 24. If you want to know what 1 John 3 is all about, this business of love, let's read it. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knows him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now you better watch that one there. We'll get to it. He that commits sin is the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God is manifested, he might destroy the works of the devil. Bring to nothing the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and cannot sin because he is born of God, and this is the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message you heard in the beginning, we should love one another. Not as Cain was the wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now you see the message you heard from the beginning, but was the same old original word, starting in Genesis, and he brings out the illustration right here of Cain and Abel, proving to them that the beginning they heard nothing but the pure, unadulterated, revealed word of Almighty God. Now he tells them about their conduct, what they've got, what their potential is. See? Oh, our potential, brother, sister, we've never lived to it. Brother Branham said that in a certain tape. I forget about his own church. I always forget tapes I read here and books I read. Marvel not, my brother, if the world hates you. You know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. Who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know no murder hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods and sees it hath need and shuts up his bowels in compassion, how dwells the love of God? And little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For our hearts condemneth, God is great in our hearts, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another, as he gave his commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abides in us, and by the Spirit which he hath given us. All right. Now, to do so, we take the last verse 24. Hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. The baptism with the Holy Ghost. That's how he abides in you. There's no way that you're a Christian until you're born again. And the evidence of being born again is received the word of the hour, the revealed word. And you go from there. See? Now there's your criterion, there's your critique, there's the whole principle laid out before you. See? We understand that. The Spirit has been given to us. Romans 8. 8 to 11. Some of these we could maybe leave out. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwelling you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That's blank. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Tells you right there, if you're born again, you got the Spirit of God, you can die because your body sins. You got to pay for it. Point on a man wants to die. Then there's a judgment. But the saint is judged right here. The judgment seat is on earth for the bride. She's had her judgment. She's been pronounced a righteous, spotless, bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, Mrs. Jesus. And she's going to get raised from the dead, those of us who die. 1 Corinthians 16:7, he tells you, know ye not your body, temple of the Holy Ghost. I better go to that. 1 Corinthians 6. It said, but rather, no, he that is joined to the Lord, rather, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, not two spirits, but one. 19 and 20, know ye not your body, temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You're bought with a price. The blood, see? And sealed in. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Tells you right there, prisoner unto Jesus Christ. Now, from these verses, we see that all those verses above verse 24 in 1 John 3, that's about the baptism, without being born again, all are Ishmaelites trying to work their way to heaven, kind old priest, Christian Science, and all the rest of them. Now, to understand that. I know this is tough, but Brother Branham narrowed it down. One word off, I'm sorry. Display all the love you want. Outlove Jesus Christ. Outlove anybody. Major in it. Give your body to be burned. Anything you want. Go ahead. I'm not taunting anybody. I'm just saying, just factual, the only way I know how to preach. Just lay it on the line. With that clearly established, let us look at these verses. As born again children, and heed the instructions and walk carefully, being fully warned. All right, we go back to 1 John then. And we're in that sixth verse. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whoso sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. All right, this is a baptism with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of faith in the word of the hour, and a walk of faith in it. And there's no more doing God a service apart from his will. From his will. Without his will, see? He's born again, and he's walking in the light. Verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. This verse as well as verse 6 is based solidly on the spiritually revealed word of the hour, and is fully explained in verse 12, which says, not as Cain who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. What was the evil work that inspired Cain to kill his brother? The shedding of the blood of the Lamb. He offered his own sacrifice instead. He wouldn't listen to the divided word of Almighty God. And remember, Brother Branham said the Bible was in the stars and the zodiac. That's the first thing the word the Bible was. You read that in question and answers in Genesis. It's very beautifully done. Verse 8. He that commits sin is of the devil. The devil sins from the beginning. What was the devil doing? Leading the worship of God. The anointed cherub that covered. What do you want? His own kingdom. More beautiful than Michael's, which was Jesus. The Logos in an angelic form, at that time archangelic form. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, to bring to nothing the works of the devil. What works? Brother, sister, don't you know this Bible is dealing with the Bible, not the world? God doesn't care two bits about your political system. This is worship. So we're discussing religion. We're discussing worship. We're not discussing communism and all that junk out there. Where the Catholics have pulled the wool over the Protestants' eyes to get them fighting communism with them so they can jump in and take over. And they're doing it. They're going to do it. That's a smokescreen. We're discussing spiritual things right here. And the devil was into it. He wasn't an infamous clod up there clawing around trying to bat God's head off and do everything. He was the anointed cherub that covered. He walked in the stones of fire. Right up there with Michael. Where did he fall? In worship. Where was Cain off? In worship. Where were they both off? Word. Where were they both off? Wouldn't take their positions. Brother Branham said, everybody's going to be put in his place. And I'll tell you, frankly, we're being subject right now by that one that came down. If people can say what they want, I believe the word of God. I'll die and leave whenever you live or die, sink or swim. You got to be committed to something. You got to be committed sometime. Even to the cuckoo house, you get committed. But for God's sake, get committed. Okay, verse 8. The devil left the word. He fell by reason of pride. He, like Judas, was a make-believer. That's right. The purpose of this, what was Judas to do? To betray God. Right here. The purpose of the Son of God is to bring us back to the place before Satan disbelieved and rebelled against the Word. This is exactly what Eve did, and we see why Brother Branham placed her so close to Satan. He was never against women any more than I am. No man get up and say, why, if God could have given a man a better gift than a wife, he'd have done so. Well, he gave his own son the gift of a bride, so therefore that's the greatest thing that God could give a man. See? And remember, the word help me means one like unto him, one of his own kind. That's why the bride is of the kind of Jesus. Well, she was in him. Way back there in that Logos. Okay. Verse 9. Whosoever sin is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him and he cannot sin because he is born of God. All right. The children now born again are beyond deception. And that child will not fall for the devil's lie, nor be contrary to the word in season. Remember, Satan fell because Michael's kingdom was to be established. Satan will do all he can as he tempted Jesus to get the kingdom from us. Read verse 10. And this the children of God are manifest, children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Okay, let's go to Titus. It's after Timothy. We can find it. 10th verse. the 5th verse, beg your pardon. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, saved by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, let's go over here to Romans 10. Now, that's how you're born again, see? Now, these verses, I'm collecting all the scripture together so that you don't want to get you confused now that I'm reading scripture that's not pertinent. So I'm going to go back here and read that 10th verse. I'll just read it for you. Now, you keep your places here. That third chapter I want to get to, it says, and this the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. Whosoever do not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. See, we're looking at that one there. And it said, not by works of righteousness which we have done. See? So therefore, you got to distinguish between two kinds of righteousnesses. Now, what's the righteousness of Romans 10 and 1 to 4? Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Okay? So we go back here again. That's why I say here, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. There's a righteousness which is of God, and there's a righteousness which is not of God. That's right. Let's just get down to the facts. See? They establish their own righteousness. It's all our righteousness, the Bible says, is filthy rags. In plain English, that Brother Branham used, it means the devil and his own can do everything but handle the word. They cannot get the revelation of the hour. They even use love to destroy the person of Christ in the Logos manifested word. Kind old priest. That renegade Jesus. Look at him in here. And he bawled us out and kicked our money changers out. Now, you know, I understand that's really based upon a concept. For it said if it's too far to bring your animal for sacrifice, then you sell the animal, whatever it is, and you bring the money and you buy the animal there. And they were making the right kind of change. There's so many pence here and so much there. And they were doing God a service. Out without his will. They got the whole thing messed up. He goes in there, kicks them all out, beats them over the head, and they said, wow, look at that renegade Jesus. And Brother Branham said, what kind of love can you put on a man who comes down the road, and here's a man, he said, maybe a little bit of prostate trouble, I mean, all these years, and here's poor old lady over here dying of cancer. He walks right by her, doesn't say a word, and heals this man here that doesn't need healing, half bad she needs healing. Just like I was looking today, going down the road, a cop picking up a speeder. That's fine. He's got to pay that ticket, because you can rape a woman and a little girl tonight, and you will be out of jail by tomorrow morning. Amen. So much for the law. I'm not against the law. I'm just trying to tell you something. Men got their idea, but God's got his, and God's idea is going to prevail. So you see, when you talk about love, you better know exactly what you're talking about. What kind of a love? Human love? Perverted love? Brother Brandon talked about that agapo love. I can show you in the Bible where agapo love, it simply means the very highest order of love that's in your life. And that is, if you love the man that does you good because he's done you good, and you really love him instead of loving God, putting your highest love on God and the things of God, well, you've got agape love, but you got the wrong kind. That's right. I took that to study here. You know, some of you heard the tapes here. You sat here while I preached it. Word after word. Took it right from the Bible. Word after word. See? Sure. They claim they love God, worship God, and kill the very God who is there in the form of human flesh. Now, verse 11. And for this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. What beginning? What he tells you. Not as Cain, who was the wicked one, as through his brother. He was preaching from the Old Testament. Everything in the new is in the old. Everything in the old is in the new. Like Paul said over here, let me see if I can find it for you. In the book of Ephesians, just to give you a clue in what I've got in mind here, because I don't want you nodding your head in agreement as something that we don't know we're talking about here. I think I can find it for you. All right. He said, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mysteries I wrote in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now notice apostles right there with the prophets. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of this promise in Christ by the gospel. Now they knew in Abraham all nations would be blessed. But they didn't know it like they knew it then. Progressive revelation. There's a light on it. See, we got light tonight. Now, verse 11. That beginning was back there is the documentation where the doctrine and instruction on love begins. You see? What beginning? The beginning of doctrine instruction of Matthew 7 and John 4 and 1. Now, Matthew 7 is false prophets. So let's go to John 4 and 1. Beloved, try not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Now he tells you right there, there's a true prophet and a false prophet, and what makes the difference? The Word. All right then, if you've got the Word, the true Word, and born of it, by the light that's in it, you'll say amen to every word of the hour, you'll have the love that's of that Word, and you won't have the phony love. Like, let's all be brethren. And what does it mean to those people? It means, well, you back down on what you believe. Oh, come on now. And then we get accused of being of fighters and strivers. Well, they sit back and say, well, see, we're sweet and kind and nice. We don't do those things. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to tell you. I won't tell you. You find out for yourself what happened recently. And you know the people who talk sweet, 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 were not sweet, sweet, sweet at all. Nothing to do with this nation. So it has nothing to do with anybody here. I just haven't got time to waste my life talking about people. Now, and this beginning of truth is exactly Matthew 13, 24 to 30. False and true. These are the parables. Another parable putting forth them saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said, sir, did you not sow good seed in this field? When does it have tares? He said, an enemy has done it. The servant said, would we go and gather them up? And he said, no. That's where you gather up the tares, root up the wheat also, let them grow together. Till harvest, the time of harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather first the tares, bind them in bundles, burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Well, there you are. A growth. What did Brother Branham have? A vision of Hebrews 6. A sower went forth to sow. A man in black came and sowed later on. The true word of God came in the prophet. What's going to happen next? False teachers. Well, you do what you want, I'm telling you. I'm not supposed to be a teacher. So let the cat out of the bag. You can listen to me, and if I'm wrong, you're obligated to come and correct me. You are? You're absolutely obligated to come and tell me where I'm wrong. Before it's over, I'm going to tell you certain things I've said a little bit contrary to Brother Branham, but it doesn't, to me, it makes line up with what he said, but I defer to him 100%. And I'm not ashamed. There's maybe three things or four things I've said that are just, you might slightly disagree with. So the prophet said this. But you better know what the prophet said. And you better know where you got in the Bible. Brother Branham said there's three kind of believers, but one place he said there's really only two. See, one's a phase. See, the two are unbelievers, period. One's a make believer, one's an unbeliever. They're both unbelievers. There are phases you got to watch. But he broke it down to three, made it easier. I could get the quote, but I don't know where it is, just the point here, see. All right, Matthew 24:30, we read. Okay, what are we talking about? All right, it is a story of the twins. There's always twins. Two spirits, two words, two loves. Then there's the spirit at the end time. They're so close, it's like a razor edge. And there's the fellow that comes along, and he's got genuine gifts. Anointed by the Holy Ghost to preach a genuine word. To talk about the person that God had even. Talk about many things. But he's off of that word. Every age brings a set of twins. Every age brings love of revelation. Every age brings and has love of revelation and hatred of revelation or of the God word who revealed himself. I'm going to go it again. There's twins. Everything in this Bible has twins. Cain and Abel were twins. Jacob and Esau were twins. Isaac and Israel came from the same seed. But you never hear, as one said, you never ever hear anybody say the God of Ishmael. Cain was of that wicked one. Everybody, there's twins everywhere. Twins all down. There's two vines. There's two women. True church false. Right down the line. Every age brings love of revelation and hatred of revelation. Depends on which side you're on. The two boys, Abel and Cain, are only vessels. There are spirits behind each. Spirit of truth and spirit of error. So let's go to 1 John again. Now, when I started this series, I'll try to tell you again what I said at the beginning. The Lord helped me to remember. Third chapter, 1 John 3:23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Which comes first? Loving or believing? You better believe it. Your love isn't worth a needle in a haystack. You ain't going to find it. As he gave commandment. That's his commandment. To believe on him and love. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. Doesn't say love, now it says word. Hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. You know today you've got the baptism with the Holy Ghost because you believe the vindicated prophet.
Amen.
I don't care how much you danced, how much you spoke in tongues, how many miracles, how many anything you did. That's a false, you're false, and the anointing is real. The prophet said so, and he was vindicated. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone in the world. And hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, wherever you have heard that it should come. And even now it is already in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now what did those that didn't believe John? They end up with a pope. Vicar of Christ means instead of Christ. Instead of Messiah. I will send you another comforter. I'm the comforter. I'm Messiah. I'll come back in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now let's find out if he's the Holy Spirit. Check him on the word. See, check it on the word. That's the whole criterion. What if people would have said to Cain, well, Cain, look it. I know that you're trying to do a good job. Now, I believe according to Septuagint, I could be wrong. It said, thou hast rightly offered, but thou hast not rightly divided. Therefore, hast thou not sinned. And it said, Abel offered unto God an excellent sacrifice. More excellent sacrifice than Cain. So Cain worshipped, he offered a sacrifice. I believe it was the first fruit offering. Brother Branham didn't say that. So I can take that back and say what he said. One thing he said, and he said many things. One place he said, if my father and mother stole some fruit, here it is. That is, ate the fruit they shouldn't have eaten. Here's some fruit back. Another place he put us wrong type of worship. I brought Peter three or four places, he said, concerning that. How come the Septuagint said it? Don't ask me. So I can take mine back and say, well, maybe it was not a first fruit offering. But I know that he worshipped. I know that he offered. And he did it wrong. And that's the picture, whether it's a first fruit offering or this kind of one. It doesn't matter what it was. He was wrong, absolutely wrong. See? And it was a work of unrighteousness. Now get this flat. It was a work of unrighteousness. Everybody thinks you've got to go out and steal, mug, murder, rape, and do everything else. That's merely fruits of unbelief. This was a fruit of unbelief. And when he took it to offer to God, to offer in worship, he was a million miles away. Now, he said, try the Spirit. Are you really born again? How many people are born again that would call Jesus Beelzebub? Now remember, in one place, Brother Branham said those Pharisees were Christians. And they couldn't be. They could be, because Messiah means Christ and Christ means Messiah. They were looking for him. They were Christians. And Jesus said, if I had not done the works, nor the man did they not sin, but now they both seen and both hated me and my Father. And you go to Church of Christ. I don't want to name names and be vulgar, but let's face it. They're the ones that were rough on Brother Branham. And said, I'll give $1,000 for a genuine miracle. He said, I come to collect the money. So what do you mean? Well, here's the evidence, a genuine miracle. We'll go right down to the judge, the doctor, and prove it. Oh, well, they said, we don't have the money here. It's in Texas or somewhere. Well, he said, go and get it. Amen. So they brought some of the big higher-ups. And the higher-ups, they said, well, what we meant was you cut the girl's or somebody's hand, and we'd see you heal it. Now, my brother said, so let's get this flat. Jesus said, they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Because the works that were manifested. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking of love tonight that the world talks as though it were love, and it's not love, it's hate. How badly can you get messed up? You can see a girl today, you wonder if it's a boy. You see a boy and wonder if it's a girl. That's the way the gospel is. It's a mess. Try the Spirit. See if there's a genuine love, a genuine this, a genuine that. So genuine peace. What's a genuine peace? Why, some guys can get an urn and lie right down beside it. Snore right away and go and kill somebody else next day. Nothing to it. Men cheating your wives. Women do the same thing. You know, conscience, no bother. They got peace. Bible school teacher seducing women. I don't know if he seduced our girlfriend or not. My wife and I don't know. She didn't tell us. That's her business, not ours anyway. The music teacher in the Bible school in Seattle. He said he had enough love for his wife and several. I'm accused by a man of, what's the difference? People say I got no love. Maybe I don't. But I'm sure warning you about it anyway. Check it out and let's find out. I'm not here to prove any point in myself. I'm just here with the word of Almighty God. Let's keep reading. 6th verse. They are of the world, therefore speak ye of the world. And the world hears them. We are of God. And he that knoweth God heareth us. Now there's a criterion here. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's your twins. How do you know? The word of the hour. Now in this day, when there's a razor blade edge, God sent a vindicated prophet so that we know that we know. See? Okay. Now don't be fooled. Note John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. Don't you be fooled that annuls Chapter 3:22-24. Whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things pleasing to him. And this is his commandment, we should believe on the name of Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave commandment. And so on. See, now Brother Brand said, you do these wrong things, you'll grieve the Holy Spirit right away. Did he say you can that you're not born again? Did he say that you're lost? No way. He knows God will clean you up and take you off this world if you smart off too much. There is a true eternal security. How can Jesus defeat his own purpose? All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and him that cometh I'll in no wise cast out, and I'll lose number, raise him up. How do you reconcile Scripture? These are truly born again people, and a truly born again person will have that Word of God and love that Word of God, and out of that love of the Word, which is God, Logos, will come this other love, which will radiate and be a part of that Word. See? And it won't stand for shilly-shally nonsense. And Brother Brown said, if your pastor doesn't feed you this, that, he said, go get one that does. Find you one that does. Where does he put it? If you haven't got a wife, you'll satisfy yourself like the Corinthian guy did with his father's young wife. See? We just want to get down to bare facts on what the Word of God says, not something else. All right. Now, and the lesson then is don't hate. We're capable of letting hatred come in. We're capable of anything. All right, listen. It says, no chasing for the present seems joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, he is the peaceful fruit of the Spirit, of righteousness unto them which exercise thereby. That's in Hebrews 12:11. Wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down, the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, rather let it be healed. Follow after peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. Seek eternal life, the real holiness. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Doesn't commend himself to the grace of God and act the way that God wants him to act. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and many be defiled. Or rather, let it be healed. Now, it tells you right there that you are capable of not obeying God's word and responding in love. So, therefore, number one is the Word of God, the life of which, Logos, you're born of. And number two is adhering to the Word with the attitude which is correct. And we've got the ability to do it. See? Now, don't give way to hate. Quarrel bitterly. Prophet's own words. Quarrel bitterly, but depart in love. But don't compromise. Die if necessary. That's what the life of the Christian has always been about. Now let's find out. We're going to go back to love. So we go to Hebrews 11 to read with what John said. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. He offered back to God what God gave him. Free grace. By which he obtained his righteousness. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead. How did he die? He got killed by his brother that hated him. Over religion. Over God. A holy war. See? Church splits, church fights, this, that, and the other thing. But you show me one place where Abel compromised in the Word. He died for it. You show me where Jesus compromised. He died for it. And now the church, because of the life that's in her, is the blood of Jesus. And she'll be shed if he doesn't get her out of here. Why? Because of her doctrine. Brother Branham was hardly cold in the grave when the church hit the market. And they tell me the Joe Pine Show was on in Louisville and those places. He's dead now with cancer. I hold nothing against the man. He's just a man that was on the air. And came in about serpent seed as though a four-footed beast with hair on it had raped the woman. What a horrible thing. Ever seen a snake with hair on it? Who said it was a snake? It's a beautiful, dark, handsome man. That's where the giants came from. She fell in love with him. When Brother Branham talked about a woman getting wall-eyed about these serpents giving her sex impulses, what do you think that fella did? Come on, don't be babies anymore. Smarten up and know what the truth's all about. Don't want to be rough and hard, but just... We say things I believe are necessary to say at times. So John said, go back to the time. He said, go back to the twins. Didn't he say there's spirit of truth and error right now in existence? And how to tell them apart? And didn't he tell you how brethren to be over the word, the true brother? You kill him, but he's not gonna give the word. Why did the Catholics kill 68 million martyrs, 68 million, in Smucker's Glorious Reformation? You know, Dave Malmes has got the book out now. I've had it for quite a time from Brother Ungren. But you can get it. It's available. Why? Because St. Augustine of Hippo said Paul was raging against God. So God smote him down. So therefore, it's good for the Christian to smite down anybody, to torture him, to receive Jesus Christ. There's your Catholics. Amen. Your Protestants are right with them. Amen. That's what John knew about those two spirits and where they're going to come to the end. He wrote the book of Revelation, didn't he? Come on. The blood of the martyrs. Now you talk about love. That's all they're talking about today, love. Why, you Protestants can even marry a Catholic girl before the altar. Why? Because you got her baptism. Lord, name, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Why, you Protestants are ours. Come home, dear children, come home. The Catholic priest doing praying for the sick in London. Stood in the platform and said, what a switch, he said. You Pentecostal once prayed for us, and now a Catholic priest praying for you Pentecostal. Why don't you come home to Mother? Already we're home. Okay, back to 1 John 3. I'm sorry, 2. 3 to 11. Hereby we know that we know we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, that's not legalism. That's keeping the word of Almighty God. That's keeping that word in your heart. That's knowing the true revelation, the true word. And putting it above your own thinking and everything else. We're way behind what we should be, brother, sister. The bride needs revival. I tell you, I know that. I'm not trying to gild the lily, just telling you the truth. Brother Branham said, where are those old-time prayer meetings? I say, where are they? It's time we came together to pray again. And not just talk about it. I've said that here before, and I say it again tonight, but it's time. If I don't do something, then some of you do something. It's time. It's more than time. But whosoever keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. In other words, brought to maturity. It's made manifest. Brought right out there. Hereby we know that we are in him. I'm going to tell you something. How do you feel about people in this message? That's one thing that really counts. It's not how you feel about the guy that fights it. See, a long time ago I said, I'm preaching on love for one reason. And I take the word as the basis, because if you people really love this word that Brother Branham taught, and I'm going to go a step further, I understand and know perfectly well, though I do not accept it in any ultimate sense. You also are here because of my ministry. And you love the way I teach in the sense of what I teach, not perhaps how I teach it, my crude manners and all. And sometimes I'm very ignorant about the way I say things, very harsh. You notice I haven't been so harsh, and I don't intend to be. There's not much use anymore. But I said, if you really love that word, there's no way you won't love each other. And I'm preaching the reason our brethren are here tonight is because they know. And I've been testified to already. Lee, if we'd only known what you really were preaching, as we know today, there wouldn't have been any problems. That's exactly true. That's exactly true, brother, sister. We could be wrong in what we believe, but we're trying very hard. But if you have that word and you're commonly based on the word of Almighty God, as we are based by a revelation which we know to be vindicated, whether we've got it 100% or not, we are going to stick together and love each other and help each other no matter what. And at the same time, we'll know the bounds where to put restraint and where to leave off restraint, because there's other words there too. But love really is your own inner attitude as you work with God, who is the Word, in your life, with yourself, and with others. And you'll find you're sacrificing as a prisoner. There's a love here we haven't had before. But there's still a greater depth.
We'll get it, though. We'll suffer. You'll have your private squeeze. I'll have mine. We'll have the world's, too. All right? We keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Man says, I love the God with all my heart, and then denies the prophet, denies the healing, denies the miracles. They hate God. Well, they say, no, I don't hate God. Well, the Bible, Jesus said they did. Now, who are you going to believe? See? But whosoever keeps his word in him, verily his love of God matured. Hereby we know that we are in him. And he that said he abides in him ought him, himself also to walk even as he walked. What did you think Jesus did about evil? Came right out against it. That made him popular and all the nonsense. It made everybody angry. They didn't like the fact. Why did they kill Jesus? Why were they onto Paul's back? Because of what he preached and how he preached it. Called the high priest a whited wall, so they were ready to kill him for it, just like the priest gave you a parking ticket for the rapist to go free tomorrow morning to rape somebody else. Brethren, I write no new commandment, even old commandments you had in the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you heard in the beginning. Again, what word's the beginning on this one? Cain and Abel. Twin spirit. One hate, one love. One had the word revealed, one didn't. And the one that didn't have the revealed word was capable of hate. And the one that had the word revealed was ignorant, not knowing that he was capable of resisting in a wrong way. When his resistance should not be to hate or to hurt, but to say, my brother, let us reason together. And show such love that the man came to Brother Branham and said, you're full of the devil. Call him a devil. And when he left, the man said, one thing I got to say, Brother Branham, you're sure full of the Holy Ghost. So he went to a different brother, sister. I'm not preaching against love. No, sir, I'm trying to do something here to let people understand my stand, because it's gone plumb around the world and I've been criticized, and that's not the point of being criticized. I don't care about that. But it's a voice of warning. Because I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister, let's get this flat. Many times, it's the voice of Jacob and the hand of Esau. Pretense. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and you, because the darkness is past and the true light now abides. You know that's over? The long, long night is past, the morning breaks at last.
Amen.
And hush the dreadful roar and tempest of the blast. As o'er the distant hill the dawn approaches fast, the Comforter has come. Say what you want. He that said, he is in the light, hates his brothers in darkness, even so now. You can get angry, but let not the sun go down upon your wrath. He that loves his brother abides in light and brings, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. Why? Because he wouldn't do for him what he wouldn't want done for himself. That is the con, not the pro. You can't do for everybody what you'd like done for yourself. There's no way. We'd all like to be millionaires on a luxury liner, taking off for the skies any minute. Can't be done. But you can always stop doing what you wouldn't want that man do to you. See? I'd like to be rich enough to give everybody in this building $1 million, just have a good time with it. I wouldn't even want $1 million myself. It's a curse. Laodicea is a curse. Kill you. Hey? Where are we up here? But he that hates his brothers in darkness and walks in darkness knows not whither he goeth, because that darkness is blind as his eyes. Now listen, my brother, sister. What is the light? Logos. What appeared here? Logos. What is this printed form? Let me read you something. We're going to take events made clear by prophecy pretty soon. But here's what it says. But now when the true believer conceived the word of God of that age made flesh, God speaking through human lips. What's the word of God made flesh? God speaking through human lips. What if we take the same word of the prophet and say the same thing with the same understanding? Isn't that the same thing? In a minor way it is. And then doing exactly what he said he would do, that settles it. William Branham, thus saith the Lord, God in human flesh. You come and tell that to man, they say, ah, hogwash, that's a lie, you blasphemed. You made the man God. I want to tell you something, those who did make him God, it'll be more tolerant on the judgment day, because they saw something than those who didn't, and it was there to be seen all the time. Feed the Christ within you on the spiritual food in due season, and grow up in him. That's what Brother Brandon said, feed the Christ that's within you. Minister to your bridegroom as a bride ministers to her husband, what he provides for her. What has he provided? He provided the word, spiritually speaking. Never forget your love of God and the, I got a word here I can't even read myself. Doesn't matter. I knew it a while ago. It's all right. Your love of God and the love of your revelation is the starting place, or all else is a failure. And your love is, as all else, nothing but an anointing. Let's go to Ezekiel 28 chapter. Just for a second. And here in the 14th verse, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, that's Satan, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians, shall we? And the 2 Corinthians, we'll go to the 11th chapter. And here's what we'll read that is very illuminating. In verses 13 and 15, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end should be according to their works. Cain. There you are. And you tell me, sit here tonight, anybody that hears these tapes wherever they go, try to tell me that I'm supposed to have some kind of love out there in the world, love everything, love everybody, gloss everything over, pass everything over. You do that, you're gone, brother, sister. That's exactly what Israel always did. Somebody came in and changed the word of God. Not to be done. Love that word above all else, because that revealed faith is the only access to Christ and his kingdom, and is the only proof of the Holy Spirit baptism. We do not know him apart from revelation of the Holy Ghost, and cannot call him Christ, or cannot call him Messiah or Lord. There's no way. And your love of the word does not annul 1 Corinthians 13. So let's read it. Now I'm getting down to the nitty gritty and the number of the whole thing. It's 8:30 now. We could have communion because the sun's going down, but you wait a while. But we waited this long and I can finish my message. Makes me very happy to know I can finish up tonight. If you're unhappy, Bob, I'm sorry. You're nice kids. Appreciate it very much. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. All right, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, and have not love, I become the sounding brass and the tinkling cymbal. What is that? That's love, but that's hypocritical. And though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And remember, Brother Branham said that love was grace. Not only were they twin sisters, but he actually named them with God. God loved grace. Doesn't say God loves grace. I said God loved grace. Three, Trinity. Triunity, beg your pardon. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, just a minute. You understand what I'm saying? No, this has been over our heads for years. Because we've been sold a bill of goods. This is the message you heard from the beginning. This is the big thing. Love, love, love. Yes, if it's the right love. But not some denominational hogwash. See? Whom the Lord loveth, he corrects. And even can love a person like we heard the song tonight, put Job through it. But look what Job got back for glorifying God. But very seldom do you want to run across a Job, my brother, my sister. You run across little Jobs, you and me. Microcosms of the real. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels. Well, that's supposed to be the baptism. Where God first loved us before we loved him. Gave us a love toward him. First of all, there was a seed in here that had a yearning for God. A deep calling to a deep. And when the deep answered the deep, then the love came. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, thy Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, Lord Jesus, 'tis now. You couldn't sing that before. Now you can be brought up in a way you can sing it and not be born again. Because you got a Trinitarian baptism. And you turned down the healing. You turned down everything the man was vindicated for. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm a sounding brass. An empty drum. Tinkling cymbal. Like wind chimes. They sound pretty, but you never get a tune out of them. In other words, there's no notes where you put it together. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, have all faith, I can move mountains, have not love, I am nothing. Second generation kids brought up in this message can quote it word perfect. Be no more born again than nothing. But you can claim the token for your whole household. I bestow all my goods to feed the poor or to give feeding. So that, well, John just said a while ago over here, don't say, God bless you, my dear brother, and don't give him something, do something for him. Or John says, that's love. Hold it. Another man can do the same thing. Give this poor guy something, and no more love than nothing. He's got no more, hasn't got the understanding of a Bernard Shaw. Old George Bernard Shaw. Went down the road one day with a fellow down the street to Dublin or somewhere, London, who knows, London likely. Could have been New York, who cares. A beggar was on the street. Crippled. It was depression time, I believe. And Bernard Shaw, George Bernard Shaw, pulled a dollar out of his pocket and gave the man. And the man had to commend him. He said, oh, he said, you're a liar. He said, I'm not a generous dollar. I said, I'm nothing but a hypocrite. Gave that man that money because I was satisfied to do it because I had it. And I could do it. Shaw was pretty raunchy. But he had far more in the ball than most Christians. So calm. I wish I knew the exact quote because it's perfect. But you get the idea. No more love than nothing. He said, I'm nothing. Give my body burned. For a while we had immolations by the dozen. Almost. What good did it do? Love suffers. Now here's love. Suffers long. And is kind. Envies not. Vaunts not itself, not puffed up, nor behave unseemly, seeks not her own, not easy provoked, takes no evil, rejoices not in the truth. You can say, ha, that good thing can happen to that guy. Rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, never fails, all the rest does. What love? True love. Because I can do any one of these things and still not have love. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I believe in 1 Corinthians 13. I believe it to the point of self-condemnation. All right, let's get this right down to business. I'll confess what's in your heart. Confess it for you, because the priest confessed it for the people between the porch and the altar. We haven't yet met our altar, which is Jesus Christ in human form. That was the altar of God, where the Holy Spirit was. We haven't met him yet. We're going to meet him in the air. We'll confess our sins. We're constantly condemned. Because we know that many times our motives are not right. We are not walking in love. We are not talking in love. We are not doing in love. So for anybody to say Leviel does not believe in love is written here, that man doesn't know what he's saying. That woman doesn't know what she's saying. I believe it along with all my heart. I wait earnestly and vigorously for that day when that love comes into the church. It's more real than anything we've ever seen. I believe in 1 Corinthians 13. But I believe with Brother Branham, he said, the Christian Science have produced more of love, put you to shame. And a person with a certain nature. And all you need is a certain nature, and you look exactly like a Christian, and you'll act better than a Christian, because the devil won't bug you. He'll bug for you. Oh, he's out there doing the dirty work. He's got to be, because Brother Branham said it all falls back on Satan. Love never fails. Prophecies do. Tongues fail. They cease. Knowledge vanishes away. We only know in part and we prophesy in part. For when that which is perfect is come, and God is love. Now this is a person. The part's done away. In other words, God speaks one more time from heaven according to Hebrews 12. There's the prophet. the mouthpiece of God. God manifest in human flesh, the prophet's living word of God manifested. One more time, it's all over. You're not a child anymore. You're understanding. This time it's real. This time it's not put on. You're not a child anymore where Paul can't talk about Melchizedek. You can talk about him right now and understand perfectly. You don't see through a glass darkly anymore. The light's right down here. A pillar of fire came down. Made the hairs a picture and made himself known there again. Made himself known. He said that this is the hour you're going to be known, and you'll know him as you're known. He knows you. What a revelation. What a tremendous thing we have these hours. He said, now abides faith, earnest expectation, and love. And that's right. Faith, earnest expectation, and love. For the greatest is love. Paul wrote in Romans, the 5th chapter, when I used to preach on faith a lot. Therefore, having been justified by faith, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, rejoice or exult in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works endurance, and endurance works maturing in character, which produces an earnest expectation, and the earnest expectation makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. In other words, just, you know what, you know how to increase your faith? Go through this. How to increase your love? Just stand still and let God do it for you. Become a prisoner. Let him fight your battles. Let his tongue do the talking for you. That's right, instead of ourselves. Let his mighty arm do battle. But don't you ever deny that word or stand back and not defend it. I'm going to tell you something. I hope we don't come to it. But you know, Galileo said, the world goes round the sun, not the sun goes round the world. He said, the world's round. So the Pope said, well, we got a different story. And our story is, you say what we say or your head comes off. He said, well, your story's my story. And under his breath he muttered, he said, the world's still round, goes round the sun. Others, I'm trying to tell you something. There could be a time. By the grace of God, I hope not. Because look at Brother Steve. I don't stand and say, I'm going to be faithful because I don't know what I'm going to do at a certain time. Only as God helps me to do what's right. I'm too fallible. I know we're all too fallible. The pressure's on too great. Someone may what they call recant. But in their heart, they know better. I say, well, I let you down, Lord. But you know my heart. Brother Branagh said, God respects what's in your heart. He knows. And what you really intended, what you really want, what you really mean. I forget the words exactly. So you read it, we believe it. Listen, the living word will discern the roots of what we call love, and your love will then be real. We can love our enemies. Brother Branham said so. He said, you may not think so, but you got it in you. You can do it. We can bless those who use us despitefully. You know that? You can keep your mouth shut when your wife nags you. And you can't keep your mouth shut when your husband doesn't rise to your expectations. You can bless your kids instead of thinking they're a mockery to you. We must not fail to turn the other cheek for the sake of peace. And we can. But in all abnegation of our self-rights, the word bride will not compromise. No, she will not. She will not compromise on God's rights, which are His Word. So all the way, extra miles, even to death. As it says in Revelation 2 and 8 to 11, they love not their lives unto death. And over in Acts, the 24th chapter, verse 14, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. The same Bible, the same God, same word, nothing different except a further revelation and manifestation. What brought the revelation? Believing in all things which are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. and herein exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense toward God, then toward men. First of all, lined with God, then with men. How can a man be lined with God and not be lined with men? How could a man then be unlined with God and lined with men? All can be done both ways, brother, sister, but one's right and one's wrong. You got those twins. Watch those twins, they're vulgar. Matthew 16 and 15. The revelation. Who am I? Who do men say that I am? Who do you say? I'm the Arthur Christ, the Art Messiah. Back away from altercations. That's fussing with each other. But stand with the word. Acts 23. 1-5, and Paul earnestly beholding the council said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by, smite him on the mouth. Why, they said, Paul, you filth. You have made that bum that died upon Calvary and said he rose again and they're eating his flesh in certain places. Cannibals. Good conscience toward God, kill him. Two men of the Word. Come on, two men of the Word. They both went to the Old Testament. One had a tradition, one had revelation. Then said Paul, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for thou sittest thou to judge me after the law, and command me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by Paul said, revilest thou the God's high priest? Listen, Paul said, I did not know, brethren. I apologize. For thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. That's what I'm talking about. There's love. There's real love. Paul was tough, brother, sister. Tougher than wielable. He was tempered in the fires almost of hell. But it was a fire of God, really. But it was a fiery furnace of hell on here on earth that tempered him. He was purged of his dross. And he stood there and just went right down the line. As Brother Branham said, you being a Christian doesn't mean that people tramp all over you. But some people think that's all it is. No, number one is that word. And you stick together because of the love of that word. Number one, you start. And from there on, in obedience, as you grow together in grace, the love begins spreading. And more, when trouble comes, you just apply the word, and your motivation is right, and your love is there. Oh, yes, I believe in love. I believe in the soft love that breaks down. I believe in the slobbery love that breaks down. I believe in the slimy, slippery stuff that breaks down before everyone cries and slobbers and anything else and gives way and just pleads itself as nothing. I give way to all, brother, giving anything you've got under the will of God. I believe in all of those things. But I'm going to tell you, they wouldn't do me one thing if I didn't believe in that there that I see today. Believe in a vindicated word by a vindicated God who told us how to worship. And the more I see it, the more I preach it, the more I believe that we ought to be closer and closer and closer to everything that he said and walk away from nothing. Confess that word with our high priest, because that's what confession is in Hebrews 10, 21 to 25. That's just for a minute. Let's go to John 8. I'm going to try to cut off here. Get you out of here before them. Just before, not 9 o'clock. Can't hear that. Before 10 o'clock, anyway, I'll give you that guarantee, I hope. All right, listen. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him, and I keep his word, his sayings. Want to be a liar? Want to be a Christ hater? Anybody can be it. They're doing it all the time and saying, oh, we're truthful. We got it. Oh, yes. I read the Bible, brother, sister, and I'm not apologizing 1 minute. Return good for every evil. Walk and live in love. But remember, love, true love, God's love, comes from God himself in you, and he is the word, and your revelation of him, even as love is corrective and compassionate. You got to walk in it. The false love can look and do the same as even the anointed ones have gifts, but they don't have the word. Now the question comes, who knows who has the absolute? Nobody. Mount Zion is a showdown. That's the rapture. So walk in love. First, the love of the word. Love one another. Love everybody, especially the unlovely. Matthew 5, 43 to 47. Matthew 5, 43, 47. Ye have heard that it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. In other words, learners and willing to grow up, because there's no such thing as growing up until we do this. Even the best you can do is walk off. That's what I've done most of my life, just walk off. I'm too old to walk now. Too tired. I marvel I can stand up here and preach. But that ye may be the children of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust, and they'll produce just as much love as you will and more, produce more fruit than you will. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you got? Do not the publicans the same? If you salute your brethren only, what more do others? Do not the publicans the same? I hear in this message there are people somewhere, and I won't mention the name, but there are certain people sitting here who know what I'm talking about. A man will cross the street rather than talk to a brother. You'll get this tape. Oh, yes, I want him to have this tape. They're offended because a certain young man that we all know has been here and preached in another man's church, and I said, praise God. I said, wonderful, they split because it was over the word. And now they've got a line of clean demarcation. You believe this, I believe that. Now let's love each other. Let's show some Christ spirit. What's bringing us back together again? A misunderstanding on doctrine. And there was some moral influence that wasn't good. Perhaps all a misunderstanding. But what brings us here tonight? Love of this word. What it's going to do for us. If this doesn't do it, brother, sister, I'm finished. I can do nothing and you can do nothing. Because we shot our wad. It's Christ the Holy Spirit in us. Liquid love, liquid word. We're brothers. We're sisters. There's none of us that hasn't got a fault. No time the pot can call the kettle black, as Brother Branham said, or vice versa. Or the world once said, there's so much bad in the best of us and so much good in the worst of us. It doesn't behoove anybody to think they're the least of us or something, or call one another now, some way anyway. Doesn't do. Let's go to 1 John. I think it is 3. I just want to make the record clear, brother, sister, what's in my heart. If anybody's ever longed for what I'm talking about, I've longed for it. Drives me almost insane, if I'm not that way already. And I'm not defending myself. I'm just merely telling you what the Word of God says. People can do what they want. But this message is not intended to fight anybody. There's no fight. But there's no place to compromise. I bend over backwards until I say, well, maybe he didn't come down. He's been here all the time. But let's get this understanding. Brother Branham categorically said on the tape personally to me, and I can get you the tape, where he didn't dare say to the world and other people. He said, we haven't had the prophet or folk face to face with God like Moses for 2,000 years from the time of Paul until now, talking about himself. Then something different has happened. Amen. The Bible said the Lord sent out to send with a shout. And Brother Branham said, Jesus does all three in descending. And he attributes to himself the fact of that message, which is the shout. And my God, where are we going? What's up? What's down? And I ask a question, is he here in a way he hasn't been here before? Is there a need, something met somewhere where it hasn't been met before? Amen. You can't believe, my God, there's no way I can read what he said without understanding we turned a corner. The headship is back. This is the real Pentecost we do. Live or die, sink or swim. You often heard me say, this isn't it, forget it. Brother Branham said, when the apostle, he said, the apostle, will you go also? He said, they said, live or die, sink or swim. We believe you've got the only word. Personally, I don't care what anybody says anymore. But I can't compromise. Even to go bend back as far as I did has taken something out of me. I'm through with the devil and his stuff, brother, sister. But I'm not going to be a fighter. I'll quit preaching first. But I got one more sermon to preach. I got a quick little things I've said. I could take another 10 minutes and just tell you what they are. And leave this pulpit and never come back again. That'd satisfy me fine. Because I cleared my record. I believe the prophet 100%. I used to believe the Arco volume said Jesus was a chestnut red haired, 6 foot handsome man. There's no way, that's the devil's lie. Nowhere he was. As Brother Branham said, there's no beauty in him. Anybody desire him? He looked 50 years old or better. Somewhere in that area. One or two things I said, a little different from the prophet. I'll take every single thing back and say just what he said, just rely on it. I used to wonder, what could it mean? Did the sun really stand still? You bet the sun stood still. How did God made the sun stand still? What else he made stand still? That's God's business. Shut up and sit down. Somebody had the truth. He had all of it. Neither shadow nor turning in that pillar of fire. No variableness. No darkness, period. The Bible said the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness can't apprehend it. They can't do a thing with it. There's nothing there to do with. So I want to raise my hand before God, Bible here, not swearing anything, but knowing a God in heaven, this Bible open before me. Brother Brandon said, I believe that prophet right. I'd take back anything and everything, but would it be contrary or indicate it was the old word contrary and misunderstood? You say, well, you take your message, people misunderstand you concerning presence. Take it back. I can't take it back. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout. It's too clear. The word klusma is too clear. It runs through 1 Corinthians 15. Do what you want. Go home to your preacher. Do what you want. If I die for it and renege on it, it'll still be in my heart. I'll be Galileo, but it's still right. Holy Bill never said he was brave. No, don't worry. I never have been too good at fighting. You sock me, my nose hurts too much. Got a wrong bridge in it. Should have got the bridge in my teeth, and my nose would be better off. Hold to your faith in God. Did I read 1 John 3:16? 18? Okay. Hereby we receive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we have to lay down our lives for our brethren. Whoso hath this world's good sees his brother have need, shuts up vows of compassion. From how dwelleth the love of God in him? But what if you take advantage of that man, all somebody, all the college, come around? What did Brother Brown say? A man has need. He said, tell the deacons and say at the door, they'll shake his hand, give him something. Give her something. Oh, brother, sister, listen, we're not fooling anymore. It's daylight's breaking. If you lay down your life, you sure give somebody something. Yeah. It's not too hard. There are those that need help continuously. Some do. Brother Brandon said, the poor you have with you always. But always somebody. But there's always something. I'm not trying to condemn you. Don't ever misunderstand me. Not personal, not anything. Just don't go off the word of God and use it selfishly. Use it for the glory of God. Little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Notice he says in deed and truth. Why? Because Jesus began to do and to teach. Let the prove ourselves Christians by our actions and then start talking about the wonderful message. God came on the scene, vindicated himself. Vindicated Brother Branham. And Brother Branham could teach. And what he taught was truth. See, it all lines up. It's all in there. What was it? Love did it. I said, Brother Branham, we talked hours. I told you one time we talked hours on love. Crucifying myself in my mind all the time because not enough love. Not enough anything. Not enough just hating myself. I haven't got to work. I don't have condemnation like I did have. I got a certain peace. It's hard. I'm not going to try to explain it. You do. You explain it. You have faith. You have it to yourself. You try to talk about it. You destroy yourself and others. Forget it. But we talked to him for hours one time. Finally, he said, let's close the garage door. Nobody can see us. We'll talk in here. I finally said, Brother Branham, listen. What you told me for the last couple hours, I've preached. I still don't get it. He said, Lee, let me ask you a question. You might have said, Brother Branham, any question. He said, have you ever done anything for God you wouldn't do except you're doing it for God? I said, Brother Branham, I have. He said, Lee, that's love. He said, compassion was doing the love of God. Doing the word of God. Yet he could pass by the dying woman with the cancer, and here's a person over here. Prostate trouble got healed. What about little Edith? I think her name was Edith, wasn't it? Right? Yeah. Brother Branham loved her, wanted to see her healed. Couldn't do a thing for her. My nephew, ruined for life by a doctor. In those days, though, they just called it spastic, cerebral palsy, and said, you're born as liars. You're not born as you sue any doctor. Your baby's got a spastic problem, sue the doctor. You got it right. Don't say do it. I'm just telling you you can do it. Because it's admitted, it's always caused a birth injury by the doctor ruining the child with forceps or something else. Almost tore my sister apart. Should have been a cesarean. Gary's about 50 years of age. Has operations, don't do any good anymore, hardly. Went through the prayer line. We didn't get healed. No use for Brother Branham. His mother has, but he hasn't. Who's to tell God what to do and how to do it? He's sovereign. But I'm going to tell you something. We're not sovereign. We have a moral choice. And we can walk in love or we don't have to walk in love. It all depends on which way we're going. It's up to us. So this is my thinking on love. Original word is original seed. And seed brings forth according to its kind and it can't change. So how can we have the love of God or love God or love our brothers or our enemies or whatever and that be the pure love apart from the attributes of Logos love that is the true original God seed and is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. As Brother Branham said, the Holy Ghost in you will say amen to every word. That's revealed. A lot of you say, man, David, I believe the brother covered the Bible, cover to cover, and even believe the covers. That's a good old joke, you know. They don't believe it. Prophet come along and tell them the truth, can't take it. See? Be not deceived, my brethren. 1 John 3:7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that worships God doeth righteousness. He that's in the proper place of worship. I don't mean building now. I'm talking about the age in which he lives, the word of the hour. That fellow's got it. 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who said the wicked one, slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because he perverted the word of God. And went his own way to worship. I'm not talking about just a little of some of the moral sins we get into. I'm talking about a confrontation on revealed truth. You might have fallen into sin last night. It's communion night. You got no problem. Confess to Almighty God, not to us. Promise God you won't do it again. That's a far cry from the word I'm talking about, brother, sister. You're obeying word. You're not fighting word. I'm talking about fighting word. 1 John 3:11-13, we read, this is a message we heard. We love one another. That's from the beginning. What beginning? Where two people worshiped and where love and hate came in over religion. Not politics, religion. Why do Methodists hate the Baptists? Religion. Difference in word. They'll boil her down pretty soon to love, though, don't worry. So called. Well, I'm not going to read anymore. I got down here, if you want to read yourself, 1 John 3:11-13, Matthew 7:24-29, you know that, Matthew 24, also, Matthew 16:7-18, right down the line there, just showing you. It all depends on revelation. Don't fight. They hated him without a cause. Which is literally, they hated him for the truly revealed word that contradicted their traditions. And brother, sister, let me tell you this. We can contradict their traditions with the word. And they might not hate us for that. They might hate us for what we do because we're pretty raunchy at times. Remember, they hate him without a cause. And Jesus said they'll hate you and they will have a cause because you're not like me. There's only one that's good, and that's God, and I'm God manifest in flesh. We do things and say things that are wrong. We know that. But we have a high priest. And remember, Brother Branham said, he doesn't see us. He only hears us through the blood. And he sees our representation, which is Jesus Christ. In this world, you'd have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. How did he do it? He did it by the word. Wherein lies all the grace and all the things of Almighty God. So I've made myself clear tonight. And I'm very grateful to God that I was able, and I'm very grateful that you're here, because most of you heard the tapes, or you heard me preach on love. And I did not bring what I brought up tonight to show you. I believe in 1 Corinthians 13, but I showed you where there can be an error in that very chapter where people misunderstand it. I brought it up because I want you to know that love can be sloppy, sentimental, and be genuine, real. It's not a stern, hard-faced person doing the will of Almighty God, I love, and you watch me do it. No. No. It's a sincere person. Stern against sin, stern against himself, but ready to bend and ready to break if there's a necessity. Not break against God and break against the Word, but to break. You know what I mean? To give in, to turn the cheek, to go the extra mile, whatever it is. To just do what God says. We can love our enemies. We can pray for those that despitefully use it. We can fellowship no matter what. We can do these things, and brother, sister, we must do them. But we cannot go back on the revelation of the Word of God. And I'm not saying, I'm not talking presence now. I am talking concerning William Branham and the message he gave. I could be wrong. I don't believe I'm wrong. I don't believe you're wrong. Or we wouldn't be here. See? But that word is what counts. Is what William Branham brought. Vindicated prophet of God. We stand for it. How you believe it and how I believe it. According to our understanding. Not revelation. The revelation was given. It's our understanding. We stand for it. But we do not ostracize, criticize, or say that man's serpent seed because he doesn't believe the presence. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. There's preachers believed and understood who I call the presence of God before I did. Because they found it by quotes. But I went to the Word, not desperate, but just wondering. I said, God, one more time. Appearing and coming, I don't understand, but I'm going to go through the Greek one more time with all the words. And suddenly I found where a man could be there and nobody knew that he was there, just like Jesus was already in Bethany and nobody knew it. He was already there. And he stood right there. And the world did not know William Branham, and nobody knew. And already there was whirling over his head, a rainbow and like a star whirling down. And Brother Branham's voice speaking out, and the voice, it said completely in Scripture, not the voice of the one, but a voice of another. The Lord descending with a shout, with a message. William Branham coming on the scene. You can't go back on those things, brother, sister. There's no way you can do it. It is the truth of God. And with that, my brother, sister, remember how we flocked around Brother Branham and how we overlooked everybody. We had little snide remarks, our little jokes, our little this and that. But he said, you love each other now, and we were. But he said, the day's coming. He said, when you won't, you're going to split. We ourselves have been through that. Whether we ever get back together, that's in the hands of God. Who preaches where what? That's in the hands of God. I hands are off, brother. I want you to know, I can't do it. I haven't got the strength. It's late. But that's all right. We're not worried. You got more. Listen. We did our best to protect ourselves, to protect this pulpit. I did, to protect myself. Because I wanted to preach the way I wanted to preach, so I wouldn't be interfered with. What happened? Taken off the scene completely, sick as a dog, nerves, everything else broken down. I'm going to tell you something. Look, it's either trust God or perish, my brother, my sister. It's going to get back to Him and be what's right, or forget it. We can buy a dozen duplicators. Tapes go around the world. All I could do maybe is condemn more souls to hell if I'm wrong. See? You can't look at man, you can't look at men. You've got to look at that Word. When we examine God in the light of God, creating this heavens and earth, and Jesus coming down here was so lazy compared to what God really was and what He would do, what we thought He would do, that they said that can't be the one. William Branham came on the scene with the potential. He proved what he was. He said, bring your 24 worst cases. I guarantee healing. Nobody took him up on it. I sat there that night hoping they would do it. Instead, we saw maybe 1,400 miracles, and nobody knew what was going on. I didn't either, but I knew that was the man to listen to, if I ever listened to anybody. And William Branham, with what he could have done, was a lazy bum to what he could have done. With what Elijah had in his power, he was a lazy bum to what he could have done. But I'm going to tell you something. There ain't no lazy bums in God's condition, kingdom, because the act of the sovereign will of Almighty God, and everything is moving in multifarious ways out there beautifully. And William Branham was no lazy bum, and Jesus was no lazy bum, and God is no lazy bum, and there aren't any lazy bums. It's man that's a lazy bum spiritually. It's man that's a heathen, a lunatic inside. That's right. But He'll get glory one of these days. My sadness, the thought is, how much glory do we give him? I'll make a person, much glory do I give him? I suppose nothing or next to nothing. Brother Brandon said, the cares of this world are business of little things here and little there. So I'm not afraid of those big things tearing you away from God, it's those little things. But I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. I don't care what. It'll be tearing from this word. He said the love would go. It went. He said they'd make him a cult. They did. There's nothing that hasn't come to pass or isn't coming to pass. I'm going to tell you what. Not one word of this book is going to fail. And here's the criteria, and here's the critique, here's the whole thing, what I've been preaching about on love. God, give me a heart full of your word. Every channel in my soul, as he said, filled with that word. Until that soul that's fed and filled with that word begins to work through the spirit back through the body. And when I stand here, an example of a Christian, and a testimony to Jesus Christ, sealed with every virtue, and every fruit, and exhibition, and every one real and genuine, because it's rooted in the Word of God, which is the original seed, which is God Himself. It's not some put on. It's not some cane. It's not something rising up. It's something being led. It's the exercise by Him of His own power within us. As Brother Branham said, the gift I've got is to get out of the way. God help us to get out of the way. That's what I'm preaching on love, brother, sister. I don't preach, don't turn the cheek and this and that because I'm a rough preacher and been hard. But I've cleared the record tonight and I'm satisfied. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, kept your people a long time. I'm sorry about that in one way, Lord, but I'm also glad that you can always prove a point that you can endure beyond what you think you can endure. You can go a little further if you just want to go until one day, Lord, you say it's upper ground. Father, we thank you for the power that you give us, the ability, the strength to come together. But, oh God, how we praise you above the strength you gave us. We thank you for the desire to come together, to meet in peace, to meet in love, to meet with the wounds healed, the breaches mended, the fences fixed, Lord, the deep places all leveled off, the high places all come down. And we can meet every one of us as God's children. No difference between amongst any of us. No difference whatsoever. But believing heartily, honestly, incorruptible word, incorruptible love through corruptible people. But, oh God, we're not corrupted. Then in the right sense, we're uncorrupted because we become, therefore, the spotless virgin bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, restore us. Bring us right back. And bring, Lord, we pray, a unity and a love and an obedience which we know is working in us already. And in some, I suppose, maybe more than others. And I would hope not that I would be more than others, but I would come up to some people that I know sitting here tonight that are walking in your light and in your commandments and gentleness and love and in meekness and turning the cheek and just walking in that atmosphere, Lord. And we don't believe that it's necessarily a part of their nature, a mild nature they're born with, because it isn't so. We know that's not so. It's a conviction of the Word that turned people right around. And Lord God, I believe tonight you're here in this building. I believe you're here in our hearts. I believe you're here. You descended with the shout. And it came by a prophet. I believe you're here at the head of the church in order to raise the dead. I believe that we're going to know you in the power of the resurrection shortly, or somebody's going to know it. And I believe, Lord, that the prophet, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, I don't know if we're like the prophet in that way, Lord, because I don't know. But I hope that we can be like that, that by the grace of God we won't stand in our way. That we'll be right in that. We'll begin to walk in love now that we understand where the roots of it all are. It's right with the Word, because in the beginning God said, let there be, and there was. And the same one, Lord, you kept on talking. And that Word has got to come into manifestation on the very grounds of the fact it was spoken, Lord. And so here we are standing tonight, Lord, with the understanding somebody somewhere, and if we're not, somebody somewhere has got to be that bride that is full of that word and love and walks and is sealed in with the virtues and the fruit. And Lord, not denying gifts and not denying anything, but walking right on. Oh, merciful God in heaven, help us. Because Lord, we've let the pendulum swing too far, too many ways, too many times. It's time now, Lord, for the pendulum to steady down and the clock to go right on and strike the midnight hour and get us out of here, Lord. Oh, God in heaven, bless each one. May there not be one of us, Lord, that doesn't feel the impact of your Spirit, Lord, and be humble and sweet and kind and full of journeying Christian mercies, because we're just journeymen, journeyers here. We're just strangers. We're just pilgrims. Oh, God, we're wanting to get out of here, but, Lord, we won't get out of here till you want us to get out of here. So help us tonight. Heal the sick amongst us, Lord. I know that sweet Spirit you've got, Lord, to come into the church. And I pray, Lord, it would come in above healing, above anything, Lord, because we know that healing and those things are going to come out of it. Father in heaven, guide us, Lord, lead us. So much of the time there's confusion, Lord, about so many things. We want to get rid of the confusion, Lord, in our lives. So we're asking now to steady us down. For you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of courage and a sound mind. You've given us these things, Lord, and we want to walk in them and be walking living epistles. We are, we know that, read and known of all men, but let it be epistles of God that are known and read of all men. Lord, that's what we want for every single person here. Love divine, oh, love divine amongst us. God of the universe, God of the bride, the head, Lord, absolutely head. We ask these mercies for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. The Lord bless you. As I said, didn't mean to keep it long, but I'm not going to worry about it. It's time for communion foot washing. So, that's the order of the service. And we're, as we say, doubling up a little bit because we have people with us that have not had opportunity. And this is our privilege to give them opportunity. We'd be doing a disservice but not fellowshipping with them all the way down the line. And so the communion and foot washing is actually for good friends like Bill and Don and Mark and Barbara and from up there in Erie. And, of course, nice to have Brother Joe here with Jenny and Samuel. And that's really the major reason. So, but now that we're all here together, I think it has expanded by the grace of God into the most beautiful thing that we all, us as friends, you know, have the foot washing and communion together. It just makes it like old times, and I'm not talking of a couple of years ago. I'm talking back in A.D. about 1933 in the Holy Ghost, Valley of Pentecost. Or 34, whichever it was. So we're praising the Lord. All right, we just read a tiny bit here in 1 Corinthians. As usual, Paul said, I received the Lord. That which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave, now to notice he was betrayed. That's what we're celebrating, you see, a betrayal. Not just the death now, but there's a betrayal. Remember, Christ must be betrayed. And you can't read Brother Branham's sermons, but no, he says, in this age the same thing, in this age the same thing. And he's talking about crucifixion of Christ. Where they crucify themselves, the Son of God afresh, right? Put an open shame. He always brings it right down, Alpha and Omega. Never, never fails. This age, that age, this age, that age. Christ appearing to Gentiles doing the same thing, see? So there you are, betrayal. We celebrate the betrayal. That's what they're doing, because the betrayal brought on death. The breaking of the body. Same night he betrayed, he took bread. He said, this is it. There could not be a breaking without a betrayal. He was betrayed. Second serpent lied to her. See? How was Christ crucified? Through lies. They lied about him. See? He gave thanks. He broke and said, take ye, this is my body. Broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. At the same manner also he took the cup and he supped, saying, this is the cup of his new testament, that's a new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft ye drink in remembrance of me. Now he broke his body, shed his blood. The covenant in blood means that it's everlasting, can never be changed. It's cutting the covenant. For as oft ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. Now we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Now people right now are stopping communion. They say, well, he's here. Now, I don't teach that, no way, shape, and form. We're going to drink it anew in the kingdom. So we're going to keep drinking it until we don't drink it anymore. Amen. And I'm going to tell you one thing flat. It's absolutely possible that in our resurrected bodies, we could all get together and have communion. I don't say we're going to do it, but we'll go over there because he said we'll drink it anew. So nobody ever leave this building and say, and think, man, please don't think. I know you know that I don't believe it, but don't you start believing. That's Did you ever stop communion? No way, shape, and form. Where'd the prophet ever say it? See? Till he come. They say, well, he's come. No, not the corporal hasn't come. There's three times he comes corporal. Three times corporal. That's page 306 or something like that in the seal book. I forget for sure. First time he came corporal, he shed his blood. Second time corporal, meet him in the air. Third time he comes down to earth. You say, what is he? What about showing himself to the Jews? Don't ask me questions. I can't answer. Brother Brannan said in the symbol. Pillar fire, maybe. I don't know. I don't have the answer, but I know Brother Brannan said on that one. Because I had to look it up for a fellow. I said, I think I know where to find one for you. I read the whole... I got in the seals, I read, so I found it for him anyway. All right. Let a man, he said, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthy, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself and drink of that, eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eats and drinketh unworthily eats and drinks damnation himself. Your judgment, not discerning the Lord's body. Now you see, brother, sister, in everything you can be a hypocrite. There's the two vines are growing together until it's over. The wheat and the tares. The twins. You don't look at. You cannot ever get rid of them until the tares are bound and we get out of here. And the tares are being bound, but they're not yet dried out. See? Drink unworthy. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep, they die prematurely. See? For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. What's to judge? By the word. Look at the word. Say, well, I'm wrong here, I'm wrong here, I'm right here, and we go by the word. You know, it's too bad that man is the way he is. That fall really messed things up, but good. Because, my, look at the trouble we'd save ourselves just going by the word. People think that they save themselves trouble by not going by the word. That's the most ridiculous thing in all the world. And yet, I'm standing here with the most ridiculous person in all the world. Because I'm like everybody else, even worse. You can't bypass the word, brother, sister. But when we are judged, we are chastened the Lord. We're corrected. And correcting is not hurtful, it is helpful. And correction is not beating somebody over the head. Correct me not in thy sore displeasure. Well, that he takes you off the scene if you had to do that. Wherefore, my brethren, or that we do not condemn the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, tarry one for another. That's good. Remember, Brother Brannan said, lay hands on each other, but don't pray for yourself. Let the other one pray for you. When you come tonight, think of the person ahead of you and the person behind you. Begin doing some of these things. We should, shouldn't we? You know, think of that. Think of these people. Wherefore, my brethren, you come together, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home. That you come together, not come unto condemnation or judgment. The rest are set in order to come. Well, that there, evidently there used to have what they call the agapo feast, which is the love feast. They'd get together and they'd bring, you know, like we had at noon. But you see, we wouldn't celebrate the Lord's Supper there. I hope everybody had enough so it carried you over. That, you know, I don't say because it's not on the tape, you can't go home and eat tonight. There are those who say Brother Branham did not do it. I don't know. I never asked him. I don't know if he did or not. I've heard so many things Brother Branham's supposed to have said. Get to the place now. I can't just believe what he said and taste, forget it. So I don't know. But here they did wrong. They mixed it. They began adding and doing things, making some kind of an affair out of it. Listen, what is it? What is this tonight as an affair, the Lord's Supper? Is taking the emblems whereby you know he was betrayed, a dark night of betrayal, because he did nothing was wrong. They killed him, shed his blood for our sins. We eat and we drink in memory of the fact that he died for us, he poured out his blood to redeem us, he sent back his spirit to fill us, to seal us in, and we do it until he comes. It's just like Paul said, you're sealed into the day of redemption, so you do this. That's right? Amen. We understand. We wash feet afterward. Some people want to wash feet first as a symbol. I don't do it because the Bible, Brother Branham did it this way, and the Bible said that way. It was afterward he took a basin and girded himself. Some people want to say, well, I'll wash everybody's feet. Don't be silly. Brother Banner said, wash anybody's feet. Two people. And the person that washes the feet, he's being prayed for by the one that whose feet is washed, and then vice versa. You pray for each other. See, that's all. So we understand. All right. The brethren come forward, please, the deacons, and ready to serve and all. It's kind of difficult, but you kind of watch the people how we do this, our little maneuvering here. We come from this side first, and then they can kind of walk through that aisle in the middle there that's a little wider and go back to your seats, and the rest just kind of give way for them. And you just come, just come as you are and do the best you can, because this little outfit, little place here was made nice for preaching, but not nice for communion foot washing. Ladies will go upstairs for foot washing, and men will stay downstairs. Just very simple. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we stand here tonight in your presence, Lord, and people sitting here ready to partake, Lord, of these emblems. Bless them, we pray, O God. Bless them in such a manner, Lord, that the people will be spiritually edified, that something, Lord, will come into their souls of a spiritual revelation on the life that they are to live and will live, and they will live it, Lord, and they will do your word in your way. And this is one way of doing your bidding, Lord, for us now to confess our sins. First of all, Lord, we know that we were born in sin, into the world speaking lies, fallen sons of God. And we know, Lord, we do things that are displeasing to you. And, Lord, we know that, and we want to get shuck of them. We want to be rid of them, Lord. And we don't want to just plead the blood, Lord, because we know that's true. And we understand that too, Lord. But we want to grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge, Lord, and Savior Jesus Christ. Love of God increasing, and our very life showing forth that we're maturing into Christians, not by just what we know, but how we show forth in experience in our lives what we know of the Christ that we love, who loved us first. This is what we desire tonight, Lord, of you, and we ask it in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Just, Peter, you come on along, number one here. So we'll do without music tonight. And if you'd fallen in line there, you could play the piano for us if you didn't mind there. Brother Branham always, not always, but many times on a tape, you'll hear him on a church order, he'll say something about Sister Nellie or somebody playing soft and piano Down at the Cross. So let's start with Down at the Cross on page 89. If we don't sing it, at least you can play it for us.